Join more than 46 million players in esports' most exciting game, Rocket League. Download Rocket League today and revel in this high-powered hybrid of arcade soccer and driving with deep customization systems that can't be missed. Available now, starting at $20 for the Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Steam PC. Rocket League, rated E for everyone. Yeah, we're just gonna start.
Yeah, just start.
We're just starting. We're just gonna start while you figure that out. That's fine. That's okay.
Oh,
have you started yet?
Yep. We've in fact started.
You should start more.
I actually can start more because now we're starting while the music's playing.
Yeah.
And the logo's up and everything. It's all over us. But
you can stop and then restart too. That counts as more starting.
Oh, I super.
And then
exactly
I can start. I can start for real reels. You know.
Did you start?
Yeah, I started.
What type of start?
A rolling start.
Yeah.
A rolling start.
Very glad.
I don't understand stock car racing.
See,
no one does.
What's up with that?
You know, it's funny. For stream purposes, I decided to add some more music, and I put a Devil Trigger. Onto the loading after the original.
What, you? You put Devil Trigger, you.
Well, it was to follow up, you know, the usual song we have. And that got people so excited that they're like, put the fucking song back on. No one wants this stupid podcast. So
just don't
do that.
To the song on YouTube.
Yeah,
on YouTube.
That's why that wasn't there until now, but it's okay.
Their frustration's getting bigger.
I saw that shit hit number one on the UK iTunes chart for a little bit.
As it should.
Which is a feat.
As it should. I feel as if...
It's a bad, shitty song.
Oh, it's...
That's awesome.
It is exactly...
Mm-hmm. It represents everything about the franchise, and it's the fact that everyone loves it, and it's a song that we would trash on if it weren't associated.
Yeah.
Is exactly
my
favorite part.
Say it's cool.
Is that you remember when everybody was getting mad because we were saying that Red Like Roses is a piece of trash?
Uh-huh.
And we like it.
Yeah.
This is the same thing.
Uh-huh.
This is exactly the same. That song sucks, man. Fucking bang, bang, bang.
Pull my Devil Trigger.
Oh, it's so bad.
Name me a lyriced song from a Capcom game that's good. That's like can win an award.
Oh,
beats in my head.
I was gonna say like flying
Circuits,
into free from
the Dragon's Dogma theme.
Yeah,
no,
that,
Indestructible. No.
Oh, but those are they're great.
Vocal theme in a Capcom game.
All Devil May Cry songs are all in the same tier.
Yeah, yeah. To be perfectly honest, the actual...
We Shall Surrender?
No, but like the first trailer for DMC 3, you know,
oh,
like
Devils
the way...
Devils Never Cry?
Devils yeah. Never Cry is fucking strong,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, that's just because it has the operatic, like...
Exactly. It has all the cheats in it. It has all the music hacks to make you think
it's... That shit's not fair.
But like the first time you heard the We Are Falling, The Night Is Calling moment, it's when it cuts to the slow motion and they're in the rain.
Yeah.
And they're having the slow Lomo fucking sword spin battle, and you're like, okay, well, now this has to be cool.
Could video games even become more art than this?
No.
He has the model of his hair down, and then he puts his hand...
It looks so
and he,
bad.
And he tucks his head back, and then he...
It looked bad back then, too.
And he fucking tucks his hair back, but
it
used to be down.
It's so stupid.
They used to be the same, and then he has it... You know,
it doesn't just look bad when he does it. Like, for whatever reason, that hair on Virgil's head looks
wrong.
Fucking awful.
But here's the thing.
Bad.
Not only that, but like...
Character models in DMC 3, I think, are purposely not that... great or detailed to keep the game running.
Dante holds his mouth open for the piece of pizza in the beginning, it looks terrible. It looks really garish. But
it looks like something Googly Gareth would make.
It's super weird. But like there's something to be said about your not just tucking your hair back, but the plot tucking your hair back is permanent gel, right? Bleach.
Devil gel.
Bleach, remember? A fucking Aizen, right?
Yeah.
It's like when the glasses come off and he does the hair tuck, it's like that's plot gel that's holding it in place for the rest of the series.
It's like something
There's
about
something
Mary
there.
Gel.
There's something there. I don't know how many other examples are there
of
besides
plot
the plot gel holding it back forever. The hairstyle changes.
Plot? plot like something that changes like clothes or, mm-hmm. or like an accessory mm-hmm. or whatever.
The reveal.
There's no
but,
reason for it, but
you know,
it
now
happens.
Now that thing is there forever because it was just water. It was just raining.
Yeah.
But his hair never fell back
it
in front
really
of his face
greasy,
ever again.
That's his bankai, man.
I don't know.
Illusionate all over or whatever.
I don't know.
Bleach is so fucking stupid. Oh, man.
Because Devil May Cry 3 propped up again, like on Twitter, when someone was like, just a reminder that this cutscene was directed by this guy who's mm-hmm. also directing Devil May Cry 5 cutscenes.
That's correct.
It just shows the pizza and the starting cutscene.
And also,
absolutely.
Everything about it is. It's the most, like. Japanese of that time, the mid-aughts, where they're like, they had just seen The Matrix 4 years after The Matrix had come out, and they're all like, why? Mm. We can do this so much better mm. and worse.
Koichi's hair goes up when
he
fucking Echoes.
Goddamn Super Saiyan for
when,
no reason.
Yeah, when Echoes awakens properly, the hair goes up and stays up forever.
And then he cuts it, but it's still up.
That's strong. I like that.
Mm. Good job, Koichi. I'm excited to see you go to Italy.
There's got
to
be tons of anime in general that have something.
Who's Nishikiyama?
Nishikiyama?
From Yakuza?
Oh! Yeah. Okay. So, Nishiki has long hair. It's long hair and it flows down on the sides and the back, right? And then 10 years later, when you see him... The hair that was coming down the sides like bangs is now pulled all the way back. So it's like kind of a, I don't know what a Sephiroth kind of look like, but no bangs.
Mm-hmm.
And that means he's evil.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
And I believe in Yakuza Kiwami, they added that the reason he did that is that during the murder that made him turn evil, he slicked his hair back with the blood.
All Might too technically does the same thing, right?
Because
All Might's little fucking bunny flops. Become huge,
huge floppy bunny ears.
Yeah, when he switches forms, so that's always a thing. The V fin drops down to become little weak, flimsy bunny ears.
Not that weak.
Eh, well, you know. Yeah, there's absolutely that. Technically, you can say Vash the Stampede when he from the one. It's a similar thing to Dante and Virgil, actually, when Knives and Vash are in the past or like growing up with Rem, and they both have long plant hair.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
They have they're like these little like.
Forgot about the past.
I'll be real. I'm with Matt. I completely forgot about all that plant shit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All that's gone.
It's another race, and they're basically like used as batteries to keep humanity alive on the planet Gunsmoke. And
Gunsmoke sucks shit.
And the whole exactly, it's just a desert. There's nothing there. It's basically Tatooine, right? But the whole thing is, like, you're using a life form as a battery, so fuck you,
that's
says...
That's good to do.
Because it turns out that life form is actually very intelligent.
And what if one of the life forms wants revenge?
I have
slash
one.
To free its people.
I have one that...
But
I'm,
that counts as revenge.
I'm shocked
it does.
Matt didn't get to before me.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Max Payne slicked his hair back and wore a goddamn Hawaiian shirt like a jackass?
But that's not crazy plot. Like, that there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Like, he
actually shaves his head.
Yeah.
But what was the reason? I don't remember.
It was, like, after the person he's protecting no longer needed protecting, and he's just, like, I think he fell down a little hill and wound up in the ghetto.
And he's like, I have to pretend to be Man on Fire starring Denzel Washington now.
I will put on this Hawaiian shirt. I will surely blend in. And instantly everyone's like...
Did you... play that game, Wooly?
No, I just watched you guys play the start of it.
That moment in the previews was like, yeah, look, Max is going to be a badass. The moment in the game is...
Applying
the
that he wasn't.
It's the total opposite in that he walks into... I think it's like a fucking basketball court and every single person in the universe just goes, what the fuck? And his monologue goes, God, I look like a jackass.
Mm.
Like it's the least power moment
He's
ever.
Very out of touch with the kids of Brazil.
I'll never forget when me and my boy Keith back in the day were coming up with, after the Black Goku, of course, we had our own versions of that idea.
You didn't.
Yeah, of course we did. I told you about this before.
Okay.
We had our own versions.
They stole it from you.
Before the Black Goku website was a thing that we even knew about in high school, we were always talking about like how cool would it be if a black person went Super Saiyan and from having tied up cornrows to slowly unwinding and becoming a fro.
Think about the animation.
The animation of cornrows untying
that
themselves
would be rough, dude.
It'd be fucking incredible. But like, that was our idea.
I don't think the hair is that powerful unless you're going Super Saiyan 3, where it just. Like, it just grows
and
bursts.
Or the other way around. You have a fro naturally, and then it slowly braids itself to become cornrows.
Why not just bigger cornrows?
I mean...
with, like, deeper rivets.
How does that make sense?
Like, the cornrows just get bigger.
No.
Well, that's just more hair, yeah.
Yeah. But they're like... it's like a stack of books.
No.
Well, that would just end up looking like Giorno.
It looked like Shit.
It looked like Giorno. It would just turn into his hairstyle, which is the Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
If you really think about it.
With the
rows get thick enough, and then they're just these big bulbs on your head, and then you got your little tails at the back.
And then you're like, your gravity is thrown
off
center.
And then you gotta wear your shirt with the man cleavage.
Oh, man.
It's the law.
Did you guys see that? Obviously, you must have seen the part 5 teaser for JoJo.
Yes, I did see that.
But did you see the part 5 teaser with the more appropriate music?
I did.
I don't think I did.
They edited the part 5 to have Gangster's Paradise playing over it, the music lines up in a couple moments, and it's fucking great.
Now
I've been blasting and lasting so long and missed a fucking points up with the gun.
Did you see the part 5 secret teaser, if it would?
That was the full episode,
which is some guy on their phone just filmed the whole goddamn episode.
How'd he get that done?
It was in the audience because they screened it at
I know that they did that, but like, they were like, don't fucking
and
film this.
Someone just did it.
I personally did not watch it, but there is one thing that a friend of mine did watch it and said something that made me extremely excited. Oh, they added a bunch of transitions to make what Gold Experience does more clear.
That's great. That's fucking great.
Is the single biggest problem in part 5.
That's cool.
Is you go, hey, what does that stand do? And Eric, he goes, I don't know.
Don't ask me.
How does it work? I don't know how it works.
If you've got a front pocket and you just put your phone in your front pocket,
guess what?
You're now
I've been in places where I see like security guards just.
They do the thing. But you can be really, really like. The cam footage still exists.
This is a guy that's like, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to do it.
I mean,
no one else will do it.
Cameras are tiny. It's not hard.
Think
about my GoPro.
Don't forget the era that.
But I don't want to watch fucking part 5 on
no
a GoPro.
No one does, but I'm just answering. Like, that's how it happens.
Never forget
you know?
The era that we
it's terrible quality,
had
by the way.
People
it's awful.
Setting up fucking tripods to get good stable
cameras.
Oh, yeah. Theaters.
That's fun. That's fun, dumb shit.
That's audacious.
I was like that criminal telling Jerry that like he's about to threaten him. Then he's like, the angles that you took to film the movie.
Like,
my breath was taken away. And he's like, oh, okay.
That episode never made any fucking sense because what does that mean? Like, what bootleg is adding to the to the film?
It's a New York thing, I'm sure.
That's why they didn't show it.
It never made
there's
any
no way
fucking
it could
sense.
Do your imagination justice.
Anyway, boy oh boy, part 5 is gonna be terrible. I can't wait for how awesome it's gonna be. that teaser was really great. I liked the style of it and everything. Of course, we're not gonna get the full on. Super Italian music, but
you want it to sound like a fucking Lady in the Tramp, Little Italy.
Yes.
Oh man.
Yes, I do. Until the stand battles happen,
you know
and
what?
Then I just want like
you know what, Willie?
Full on hip hop.
That's up to you. That is your task now
to make it happen.
To rescore the anime as it comes out.
You've got Bruno sitting in the chair at the end of that thing, like, kiss the ring. And you're like, what
else? It is something else.
It should be the Godfather score. Like, that's what you're supposed to hear.
That the main character of that show is not the one sitting in the chair.
And
he's not even the one that gets the final reveal. It's Zipperman.
I showed that. I showed my girl the teaser as well. And like, you know, she hasn't read and whatnot, doesn't know anything yet. She's just going along with the anime as it comes out.
Yeah.
And the first words after the teaser is done, like she just busted out laughing while it was happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. And then you see the full cast reveal at the end of it. And the first thing she says is, wow, that's gay. Isn't it the best?
It's
the gayest it's ever been. There's no holding back now.
when it was like part one, it was like manly and closeted, burning.
Then
part two, it's like, I'm out, but I'm throwing my balls around, but hey. And then three, we're just gonna have this old man just plow this dude in the street.
We're gonna have like hijinks in like two. We're gonna have hijinks and still be like, oh man, look at that hot girl. But ooh, you.
And then in four, you have the, hey Koichi. Hey, look, he's got a girlfriend. That's cute, right?
Yeah,
that's adorable.
Yeah,
that's adorable. Yeah. And then five, it's just like the dick is just poised.
Quivering. You know what it's like? It's like, you know,
in front of the chest cleavage.
You know, in the back of old comic
books. Pick a hole. There's a lot in the fashion.
You know, in the back of old comic books, they have like ads for old, shitty, like third party controllers for the Super Nintendo or Genesis. And always have like a turbo button.
Yeah.
And in the picture, it shows a kid's like hand just quickly.
Yeah.
That's how it gets in JoJo. Now.
Oh, man. JoJo got turbo gay.
Turbo gay.
I love it.
The panel.
It's so great.
The panel of Bruno licking Giorno's
absolutely
face,
yeah,
might as well be a doujin. It is porn.
It's just fucking fantastic how
it's not as graphic, but it's serving the exact same purpose.
Oh yeah.
Well, because then I went on to explain how like you get like you go from like manly like you know in the old early
manly ripped
but now
go to the gym every day
but now Joe you Aniki, but now though. You're getting like fierce, right? You're getting like runway power, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's getting into that sort of energy and it's fucking fantastic, and it only goes up from there. But yeah, like between explaining like the like I was like the man lick there, the cheek lick, and then the thing with this part too is this is where you start seeing stands posing where the stand is wrapped around you, or you are wrapped around your own stand.
I love my stand.
And you're loving yourself, and it's just so like fucking great.
That's a good message.
It's fantastic.
Love yourself. Love
it's
your
the
stand.
Best.
Your stand loves you.
I fucking love it.
If you don't love yourself, like how you don't love your stand, how the hell are you supposed to love anybody else?
Right? You've got to start with your stand first, and then work your way out from there. Absolutely. Man, oh man, I can't
don't
wait.
Fuck
and then,
it up
and then
for
like
the gold experience.
Eventually we get to the part where like who's your main character? Oh, he's a wet sailor with weird genitals.
Oh, you have to go far past the cowboys at that point.
Oh yeah.
You know, you have to get there. And it was
prison.
It was the bit
cowboys.
No. It was the bit we did in Eyes of Heaven where it's like this is a man discovering his sexuality over the course of 30 years.
It's the long.
Remember that
still
time?
Hasn't really found it.
And like after the bad boys, remember that time where he's like, "Yo, what about girls though?" And they're like, "Nah."
The first thing the Jotaro does in part three is scream at all the bitches hassling him to get off.
Get away.
Oh, man.
Get away from me, bitches.
Get out of the panel of this manga, please.
Jotaro,
nobody wants
Josuke
to see you.
And Jotaro, actually, you know.
Yeah,
And Joseph and Caesar are both, like, putting doves in chicks' mouths to fucking one-up each other, you know.
Wait, even before that, in part three, Jotaro like tells his mom to shut up and I don't need you or whatever.
Yeah, dumb bitch.
His mom is the
nicest
mom.
Just, then he just starts caressing his photos of dolphins.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yo. Thoughts be gone, man.
Did you see that the wiki page for notable marine biologists is locked due to constant vandalism?
You cowards. Yeah. Jotaro Kujo is not a real person. Please stop vandalizing.
So, fuck you.
I was at the Montreal Comic Con for a bit, and I was looking for JoJo figures, specifically Jolene. Everyone's like, you gotta wait until it gets animated, because it's going to be hard to find anything
then
until it's animated.
Of course, yeah.
And I'm like, damn it.
Yeah, no, so the discussion naturally leads from like all of that to the cool shit that comes later. And it's funny because it's still like no one in part five, as far as I know, is like actually like openly gay.
Yeah.
But in part six, there's openly gay characters.
Yeah.
and they're not as flamboyant as fucking Part 5 is.
Well, no, because they're not Italian and part of the gang stars.
But it's awesome because in Part 6 it's just like a casual detail.
Yeah. What year did Part 6 actually come out? Like, when was it published?
Ooh,
yeah. Because that might, like, give you your answer as to why. This is around the time period where...
But the fact that, like, I mean, is it... I'll just in case it's spoilers for anyone who's not reading, I'm not gonna, you know, say, but like, yeah, there's a character that you like pretty much that's just the backstory of the character, and it's not at all like, it's not like the super flamboyant people like the characters in Five, which are like, yeah, we're all out there with our fashion and everything, but we're all trying to get this girl's attention.
Yeah.
Is what you're getting in Gold Experience in Part 6, it's not that at all. Mm-hmm. But what I was going to say about you saying, talking about Jolene, is that worse than that, I was trying to describe one of the best things that happens in the entire fucking JoJo everything.
Yeah.
Is a conversation between the antagonist and the protagonist of Steel Ball Run. And
it's
we're just
downstairs, dude. You keep looking really freaked out.
Well, because coming through my headphones, it sounds like the place is coming apart.
Because it's reverb
through
the walls.
You're super right.
One of the coolest things ever in the entire franchise is, like, you know, you have your Dio versus Jotaro, like, final battle thing. The version of that in Steel Ball Run is fucking next level. Mm-hmm. And there's a moment where there's just a conversation that happens between the two. And... we're not going to see that for a decade. We're not going to get there until
cool,
like 2028.
Though. It'll be cool.
And it's killing me.
You'll be alive. Maybe.
Like, there'll be, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Checking your sugar.
Araki will be 78 by then. And, you know, it'll be going. They'll adapt his work.
It's like they're at Part 5 now, and it doesn't even feel like that long. Like, it's like JoJo started getting anime, what, 2012, 2013?
Yeah.
Like, that's still a lot.
We'll get there in 5 years, Wooly.
I'd say 5 years.
You think 5?
Yeah, man.
I feel like...
Unless ratings drastic go down.
But here's the problem.
Between 4 and 5 was the longest.
Here's the problem, though. It was. But the other problem is that it's not just about like that length and that time and the amount of effort that goes in. It's about
the length.
It's about the fact that like that part is like 3 times longer than the average part. They get long now.
Yeah, that's true.
5 is long.
5 is...
6 is long. 7 is... fuck. You know, like these things start lasting and I feel like while
three
was longer than 4
was like cut into two halves.
Yeah, 3 was 2 seasons. You had pre-Egypt and then you had Egypt.
Yeah.
3 is longer than 4, but that's never going to happen again. Mm-hmm. You know, from here you're moving up, you're going on up.
It's
so
too big and girthy.
But I feel like by the time we get through like to like 8, I don't think it's going to be 5 years. I think it's going to be a bit longer than five years.
Right.
I'm thinking like...
Maybe 6.
Well, if Part 8's even done by then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it'll just go on.
Maybe they'll wait.
5 times as long as...
Maybe they'll wait.
Maybe.
But 7, it's so worth it. But anyway.
Horses, dude.
Fall off your fucking horse. Die, asshole. Matt, how was your week?
I mentioned the MTL Comic Con, but right before that... what fan films have you guys ever seen where you're like, that was pretty good?
A bunch at Fantasia. I saw the Batman stuff, the Punisher stuff, the Wolverine
Batman
fan film,
like Predator and
Star
stuff.
Wars fan films. I've seen
I'm
a lot.
I'm not very up to date on my fan films. So
a lot, over the years. And back in the day when I was trying to make one.
Yeah. Because I watched one, and usually it's like I give something like 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, it's going to be like this, and then I'm done, right? So... those Street Fighter ones
that
Machinima put out a few years back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Assassin's Fist, and it was like all right, but it was all right because they had one set, which was a dojo and outside the dojo. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, they stretched it to like 8-9 episodes of that.
They got the official approval.
They got. So one came up like over the course of the last 2 weeks, which is a Final Fight fan film, and I'd seen Final Fight fan trailers before where someone just made a concept trailer, and I'm like, whew, I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh wow, but a full 30-minute movie came out over the week called Final Fight Broken Gear. And I was like, wait, who is this person? Like, who made this? And like, let me research a bit about it. And I'm like, okay, it's like a Los Angeles, like, filmmaker, whatever. Willie, do you remember the big mustachioed guy in Godzilla Final Wars that commanded, like, the big ship?
Mm-hmm.
And he's always screaming at people and mm-hmm. had a katana sword?
Mm-hmm.
That movie was in 2004. When I saw that guy, I was like, man, his name is Don Fry. He was an MMA guy. He's actually popular in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, that guy would make a fucking good Mike Hagar because he looks exactly like him and acts exactly like him. So when I saw that they hired this guy to be Hagar in this film, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to watch the rest of this.
Okay.
So Broken Gear is 30 minutes long and I'm watching. I'm like, that fight was really good. That was a really nicely choreographed fight.
Mm-hmm.
That guy looks a lot like...
Is this
like,
the Assassin Fist people?
No, it's different. And it's just a guy like completely made it, you know, just on his YouTube channel, whatever. And I'm like, this cinematography is really good. This is really impressing me. They have a shot of Dam/Thrasher, Rolento, and Poison like doing like a video game intro, like just all of us posing at the screen. Mm-hmm. And it's interspersed with Hagar giving a press conference between what Cody is doing, where he's actually on the streets, like just doing the Rocky jog throughout all the like shitty parts of the city, of Metro City. I'm like, wow, this is really impressing me. And towards the end, Guy shows up and they have a good guy. And I'm like, wow, that was really fantastic. Hagar gets a move in at the very end. So I was really, really impressed with this. And I just wrote on Twitter to the guy that wrote it, Haley Lee, I believe. And I just went, well, congratulations. You made the best fan film of something I personally am like super into. I mean, I haven't seen every fan film in the world, but I was really impressed with it. It was a really solid 30-minute watch. Willie, does this sound familiar to you at all as well? He contacted Capcom about doing a project years ago. And Capcom was very enthusiastic for like a minute and then just no communication, breakdown. No thanks anymore. We're not interested.
We don't think this really fits our brand.
breakdown.
So, And I'm like, I feel you, bro.
Everyone's calling that Capcom to complain.
Well, for that thing, maybe. Yeah.
No one's calling them to complain.
Well, he's like looking down at the ground, like he's just.
I mean, it's what are you gonna do, right? What are you gonna do?
Don't be enthusiastic at the start.
You're gonna be fucking sad about the past and stare at your feet. That's what you're gonna do.
Yeah. Actually, what you should do is just fucking don't ask for permission. Ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Capcom has actually been, as far as our rule of shut up, like Capcom has been pretty cool about, hey, stop that, or it's out there. Fuck it. Like, they don't actually go after anybody for anything, ever.
So, yeah.
Hey, Hasbro, my name is Fensler Films. Can I, do I have permission to, where are you going?
We're going to our lawyers.
Yeah, like, you know, what are you going
to? Sue your ass.
Mm.
Did Son of Prince get permission? Did Juggernaut Bitch get permission?
Juggernaut Bitch got in the
did
movie.
Not, yeah,
exactly.
And they didn't get paid,
But later, it escalated there to the point where it couldn't be denied.
Yeah.
From doing something that was not,
I think the worst
approved.
The worst part about that was always that they put the Juggernaut Bitch thing, which was iconic, but they didn't put like Wolverine screaming my fucking legs in there,
or like and like Black Tom never said my outfit's so tight. You know? Juggernaut said that too. They all said my outfit's so tight. So Final Fight Broken Gear, it's on YouTube. I give it a big Matt thumbs up. Aside from that, I went to MTL Comic Con, played Spider-Man.
Tell me about Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was, first of all, I was in a line for a while and they're like, you have to like come by appointment. We can give you like slots like every 15 minutes. I'm like, okay.
The Sony booth at Montreal Comic Con is not a fun wait.
There was no line for Spyro Reignited.
What?
I'll tell you about that in a second.
Classic.
But yeah, I was watching people play. I'm like, okay, this is the exact E3 demo. So this always helps when you play a demo is you watch the demo beforehand.
Yeah.
It helps, even though it spoils
like what's going to happen.
It does. But remember when we played Killer Instinct at the Future Shop that I learned everything from knowing about Killer Instinct? And I'm like, this is so much better knowing a little bit.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
I watch it. I'm just like, okay, the launcher in combat is this button, whatever. And like, I will say, like, just really put, like, generalized things. Graphics, like, amazing. When you're on top of a building, just look at everything. I'm like, this is the best open world in a superhero game, bar none so far to me.
Good, because unlike, like, aside from Superman, I feel like Spider-Man is going to move the fastest through that kind of place.
Yeah.
Like, Batman has a slow flight thing.
Yeah, or like a little, the grappling hook.
Everyone only has one question, man.
Yes.
How's the swinging?
The swinging is actually really, really similar, maybe even a bit. I'm judging by the demo. You don't unlock any new moves or whatever. You just have what you have. Mm-hmm. But it's very similar to Amazing Spider-Man 2, which had good web swinging where it was the left trigger and the right trigger was your left and right hand, so you can always do whatever. Mm-hmm. And it had the web zip, which is there's an anchor point on almost every single thing in the world. So if you don't want to just web swing, you can just tap this and he just goes bip, bip,
or
bip,
if you're
bip,
gonna
bip.
Hit, I remember using that like when you in one of them anyway, like you were gonna hit, you were trying to leap over a building and you were gonna be like 5 feet too short, you'd web zip and then shoot
over
it.
It has something like that. This the web swinging felt like good. I had no real complaints about it. It felt like you had way more control. As I just finished an LP of Spider-Man 2, and you actually have shit control for doing subtle things because they just didn't focus on that. Like if I want to land at the exact spot,
Spider-Man
it's hard. It's very easy.
If I remember correctly, Spider-Man 2's big focus was on like getting the feel of launching out of momentum.
Well, there's that, but there's also just
That in this too, for sure.
There's the simple thing of like, we're never going to go back to swinging on the sky. Up until that point, that's all we had.
We actually did.
So Spider-Man 2's biggest accomplishment was actually attaching to a real building.
Yeah.
You know, like the rest being fun and good worked out.
Other games went back to swinging on the sky after it.
I feel like that's just crazy lazy after we've already seen,
crazy.
Yeah.
Clazy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, the only game, like...
After we've already seen, like, attaching
Amazing
to buildings.
Amazing Spider-Man 1, based on the first Amazing Spider-Man movie, was swinging on anything. And then there are other games in between, like Shadow Dimensions, but I gave Shadow Dimensions a pass because they were always in enclosed levels. There was no open world, so I don't expect to swing on anything.
Why would you make that video game?
Because it was fun.
I guess. Just enclosed levels for a character that's all about open space.
If you remember, Shadow Dimensions is Spider-Man Noir, Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah.
Everyone has different gameplay.
But like
Spider-Man Noir is a Metal Gear game.
But I mean,
you don't web swing in that.
Okay.
He doesn't even have webbing.
But are you saying that like...
He does have webbing. Never mind.
But what I'm saying is it every story within that game is still enclosed levels?
Or is
it just certain sections depending on who you're playing?
It's hard to
say. Like, if you said it was just noir or people who don't swing, then that's fine.
Yeah, because Spider-Man 2099 is all about, like high-octane combat and, like, doing halo jumps through... Like, that's how his levels are made. Ultimate Spider-Man, it's more like a Musou game because he has the symbiote and he's tendril-slapping 100 enemies at once. They're all very different types of gameplay.
Okay.
So, anyway, regardless... graphically, it was amazing. Like I said, the combat was fantastic where just popping guys in the air, punching them back, hitting them, then yanking them back, hitting them in the air for more combos, hitting guys off buildings. They're dead. And
yeah,
I like
dead.
How the game doesn't say anything about it. But when you finish that encounter, everyone's webbed up in a big ball. And it's like, no, it's fine.
No, they're dead.
Spider-Man. No, they're dead.
Spider-Man let them hit the ground. And then
we saw him go flying and not pay attention to where he was landing and continue fighting.
Just continue fighting.
Not only did he die, but he landed on an innocent person.
And it looks a little bit like Arkham Combat, but it's not really. Like, there was no real counter button.
Huh.
You can direct your hits left and right, but it wasn't... I didn't get that feel. Again, going back to Amazing Spider-Man 2, that was just Arkham Combat.
I thought for sure there'd be big steals on... Amazing Spider-Man 2. Like,
Amazing Spider-Man 2 was just Arkham Combat with no variation.
Question, because a bunch of movies I've seen recently made me think about this and made me think about what you just said. Like, You know how in like superhero movies, like there's a kind of a thing, or even action movies in general, there's kind of a thing where if you don't see an innocent person die on camera, it's
you assume that they're
everyone's
gone.
Fine and that yeah. everyone was perfect and that every
I can see their parachutes.
So when it's cars like when a go
lightsaber
flipping,
falls out of someone's hand, unless. It doesn't show the lightsaber falling out of his hand. You have to assume they always have a lightsaber.
Or like, if you see like cars flipping in traffic, you know what I mean? Or like crowds of people running from like giant explosions and stuff. You're like, none of that debris landed on anybody. In Superman, that was clearly not the case
because an entire building collapses onto a street.
You can't just be like, oh yeah, it was evacuation day. Everyone was celebrating not being in the city. Yeah. Like,
even though they
take
totally,
your kids to home day,
even though they totally do that in all those the DC cartoons. Like, I remember there's some, I'll watch like DC cartoon clips every now and then, and there's the one where Superman gives the speech back, oh, everything's made out of cardboard, and he punches Darkseid, and Darkseid flies through like 10 skyscrapers.
Right.
But I'm gonna guess it's a Sunday, and no one's at work.
And Godzilla movies even, you know, like, it's yeah, like, that, those are buildings, you know.
Nazi buildings.
Lots of people die in those all the time.
But like, is it just like dumb to assume, especially in like some of the newer Marvel movies too as well, where it's like, is it just ridiculous to just assume that that's still the case? Like, can we not just look at what happened here and go?
Did you see Ant-Man this week?
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about that.
I did not. So, like, that would be a movie that I would think everyone's always fine.
Because that's where my brain is going.
Only bad guys get
No,
hurt.
Because there's moments in that where I'm like, really? Oh, come on, that had to be collateral.
Yeah.
So, like, there's nothing confirming it, it's just a there must be, like, some sort of trope rule for, like, your brain's,
tell you guys about the Uncharted 2 thing with that? So Uncharted 2, I'm sure I did, but I'll remind you in case you forgot.
I think I know this generally.
There's a part where in the beginning of the game of Uncharted 2, you're robbing a museum, a regular-ass museum staffed by guards. And I think it's in Turkey or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the museum is quite large. It's maybe 200 feet tall at the top. And you and your buddy just throw two fucking guards off
the
edge.
Yeah.
Like, casual. Gone. Just like, bye! And in an interview, somebody pointed out, it's like, what's up with Nathan Drake just fucking murdering those security guards? And they went, huh? And then they patched in the guards at the bottom of the river swimming away.
That's funny.
This came up in Dead to Rights a lot. Remember, there's just security guards working. They're not criminals. They don't know what's going on, but they're getting the shit shot out of them very easily.
Also, shout outs to me finding out that Nathan Drake never gets hit.
That is not true in 1-3. That's a part 4 thing.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's true.
1-3, like, you watch red bullet holes come through him.
Okay. In the red vignetting on the edge of the screen in Uncharted 4 is Nathan Drake's luck running out. And when he gets shot at with too many near misses,
he's like long shot.
Eventually, a bullet will hit him, but all of those are near misses, and that's what the damage is.
Which is weird because he used to be somewhat tanky in the chest and face from bullets.
Well, because video games.
This might help you for the game, right? You punching guys up there, you go down to street level, there's tons of people, your X punch is now disabled, it goes this now.
Yeah, big wave.
When you go up to people.
Okay.
And I think when you unlock it, you can put your arms around people and take selfies with them.
Right.
But you'll see a mailbox right in the middle of a bunch of people, or you'll see a sewer grate, and it'll say press L1 and R1. You press that, he webs it up, spins it around, and slams it in the middle of everybody. Everyone goes, whoa! But then they continue walking. Yeah. So it has to really balance that fine line between I want to cause some ruckus, but I can't just attack people. Because another tenet of this, unlike some other Spider-Man games, like we don't want any morality system. We don't want accidentally hurting people does something negative because sometimes that'll happen. There's nothing you can do. Sometimes the thing will explode. But like Spider-Man... He's responsible. So it's just all NPCs like that are just invincible. I'm like, what are you supposed to do?
I feel like
you make them get tasered while you hit them with your bat fucking tumbler.
I feel like there's an Assassin's Creed game where if you try and attack a civilian with your fist,
it says the assassins didn't hurt innocent people.
Well, there's some open world game that if you tried to punch a civilian, your character would juke at them and like threaten to hit them. And then pull back and just scare the shit out of them.
Sounds like maybe Infamous?
Yeah, because in the early ones, you would just desync more. you know?
Yeah, I forget what game it was, but it was really good. It's like, oh, your character's still a fucking asshole.
It wasn't Prototype, because Prototype
is the most murder everybody ever.
It's like a Metallica album.
Oh, anyway. It's Witcher 3.
Okay.
Now I remember. Okay. I remember all the
Geralt just tenses up at people.
Yeah, he'll tense up and freak them out.
He big dogs the crowd.
Big dog.
Got a big dog, everybody.
It's great.
So really enjoyed Spider-Man. Looking big forward to it. Went down to EB Games later that day and finally put in my pre-order.
Oh, yeah. Ew, physical pre-order.
Yeah, I know. What's up with that? Why would you do that? That's awful.
You had to touch the store.
I didn't.
You could have your feet.
You should have just. You should have interneted that.
No, but because I have a bunch of money cards.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's the reason. Actually,
going back to Spyro, played that fucking all the boosts for that big empty.
What?
It's hard.
Yeah.
I forgot. I played Spyro 2 a lot at a friend's house. But this is just straight up like three hits, you're dead, and you just take it for granted. But game does look like amazing when you just talk to NPCs. Like the animation on them is just like astounding. And you know, I always preferred Spyro to Crash's style of gameplay.
Really?
Like,
I'll admit, I've never played Spyro once.
Okay,
I have no idea what the fuck those games are.
They're 3D platform action games.
The levels were not as hallway as Crash Bandicoot.
I also never played Sly, and then I got the collection and was like, oh, that's what that is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Sly, I don't think... Sly got that treatment already. I mean, it wasn't as exhaustive as this. But there's that. I bumped into Ariane Saint-Amour there. I was too nervous to say anything. I ran off.
Did you actually run off?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
You can ask Chris Rix. Matt took off.
Like at a sprint? Or
no, at a leisurely jog, like, oh shit. I need to go
to the bathroom.
You're on
right now.
Besties with Ms. Jacob, but still
can't. I would
can't
also run away if
in real life.
In the
I run, yes.
Because you don't know what. Your body just locks up sometimes, nope. Willie. Nope.
Oh,
it doesn't happen as cool people as you.
You just say hello.
You know, it's fine. It's
no.
Okay.
What if I fuck it up?
Spaghetti.
Well, then you'll fuck
you
it up.
You shouldn't have cooked all that spaghetti and put it in your pockets.
I shouldn't have. Wooly, I picked some things up. Like all of Amalgam.
Oh, the full run.
There's Bruce Wayne, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, my
God.
Wow,
that's a double dose of fucking
so
stupid.
Why do you get this? Because you can't get it online, legally, at least, I don't think. So when I'm done,
yo,
here you go.
But we, like, just go, just looking at the covers.
Look at Legends of the Dark Claw.
All right.
I don't know what else is in there.
There's some stupid shit
I'm seeing in the box.
To get everything
I read this first. Let's just quickly. I forget what else
time
is
to
in
get
there.
Everything wrong, man.
That's fine.
Just the covers.
It's Spawn, right?
Amazon, which is Storm and Wonder Woman.
Perfect. Yep, we know that.
Magneto and the Magnetic Men.
Yes.
I don't know this one. Who is it?
I remember that issue, but I don't know who the fusion is.
Doctor Strange Fate.
That seems very obvious.
Oh, yeah. Bullets and bracelets.
There you go.
Wonder Woman teaming up with a new Frank Castle.
Castle and Diana together again.
Finally.
They love murder.
I don't know this one either. Assassins.
That looks like Elektra and someone.
That's definitely Elektra. I don't know who the other character is. Yeah.
Don't know. And X-Patrol.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's dumb.
Is this Rob Liefeld?
X-Force
Plus. It
looks
like fucking Rob Liefeld. It is not. But it looks
that's
like
a big him. Dumb.
Super Soldier, which is
the,
Superman.
The obvious, yeah.
And Captain America.
His hair is the worst thing in the world.
Spider-Boy
is the shit.
Okay.
I had that one. I fucking loved it. It was great.
Speed Demon, the guy I couldn't get the name of. Flash and Ghost Rider.
An amazing combo.
That's
right there.
Good.
Strong.
And JLX, which I assume is Justice
League X-Men.
Is that a fucking
airport?
I forgot
it's
about
Aquaman,
JLX.
Cyclops.
Yeah.
I don't know who the fuck this little bugger
is. Joker
and Nightcrawler?
It's like Speedball combined with someone else.
And then, yeah, Bruce Wayne, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. So... I did see them all. I'd seen maybe half of them.
I definitely, the comic book shop back in the day that had them, like, had all of those. And but, like, was there not a like, second revisiting that happened over some time or something like that?
Said everything, but I think there, I think you might be right. Yeah. Something. And I also picked up this. This is an issue of Thanos, who has a limited series. You know who this is?
Is that Ghost Rider?
Is that Vengeance?
This is Frank Castle, who died.
Uh-huh.
He became the Ghost Rider.
Got it.
He was then drafted by Galactus to be his new herald.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He got fired.
Yeah.
And now he's Thanos' new herald. So it's the Punisher, Ghost Rider. And when people start telling me about this on Twitter, I'm like, what, where?
Okay.
What?
Matt.
What?
It's now official. I'm convinced. Everything about the Punisher that anyone likes for the last, like, 10 years has just been, what if Frank Castle was someone else?
Because I don't have it here, but I have, what if Frank Castle was
Captain America. War Machine.
The War Machine is real.
My point is, it's always about, what if the Punisher was not the Punisher, but actually some other more powerful character?
No, actually,
I do that with a lot of characters.
I would like to.
What if he was a Frankenstein?
What if he had powers? Because look, he doesn't have powers.
My actual modification with that was not if he was somebody else. Is what if the Punisher had the ability to affect more
to
than
kill
a,
harder
than a couple of neighborhoods.
Yes. What if Punisher could kill even harder?
On a galactic scale.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, Frank Castle, Sorcerer Supreme, became real.
Yeah.
He had a magic Uzi.
Because the thought of this murderer getting more power is always terrifying.
Yeah.
Therefore, everyone wants to know. Yeah.
No galactic jaywalking for you, Silver Surfer.
Like, as the War Machine, he just flew through a guy. He just flew, and the guy was there, and then he didn't stop.
And there's just pink mist,
and that was it.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm excited to read all this stuff. There's a couple issues of Thanos, with this Ghost Rider, Punisher, Herald in there. So I'm gonna read those over the next few days.
What do you call him? Ghost Punisher?
Okay. Well, someone else talk about the week. I'll look to see what he's actually called.
Punish Rider.
Yeah.
Bad.
Honestly, I'm playing the same games I'm usually playing. Of note, is that stupid For Honor shit on the news docket? Because it was fast. All right. So, For Honor, you know I've been talking up For Honor, been like, boy, For Honor's good.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as last week's podcast ended,
they
announced plans to make me look stupid as fuck.
To take content out.
And they said, listen, there's way too much customization in the game. New players are getting totally overwhelmed because it's just crowding the UI. The UI's bad, but, like, fuck off. So what we're going to do is we're going to remove, I think they said, like, everything that came out this year to make way for weekly outfits and executions and shit like that to come out on a rotation. And to make sure that everybody has a chance to get it, there's like a 50% sale going on. So I should mention you can get like 1,000 steel a day. The executions, which are quite expensive, but the lowest of the tier of these things, would still cost like 4K. So that's at least 4 days of grinding for any particular execution. And there were two being removed for every single character in the game. And the outfits cost like 15K, and they were being dropped down to 8K. It's like, look, everybody. And people went, that's fucking dumb. Just fix the UI, you stupid idiots. This is exactly what you guys did to Rainbow Six Siege. But the Rainbow Six Siege, yeah, I know. The Rainbow Six Siege stuff never came back. Like, they said they were put on a rotation and never came back. And the executions, well, I don't know how much you remember, mm-hmm. but the longer executions give you more health.
Mm-hmm.
And certain executions kill faster, so it's a gameplay thing. And it's the dumbest thing ever. And their Reddit exploded. And then, like, I want to say 20 hours later, they came out, oh, whoops, no, whoa, no, it's the thing that drives me crazy. We miscommunicated our intentions. We're very sorry that we didn't communicate properly with you guys. Here's how it was, and then they rolled all that fucking stupid shit back, and on top of that, said like, oh, yeah, also, whoever came up with this idea forgot that executions are a big deal. Those will never, ever be removed under any circumstances.
Didn't that start as a list that someone inside like showed off like a memo?
It was one of it was like one of their community people. This is their job. They said, "Hey everybody, here's how it's going to work." And they put out a PDF on the Forerunner subreddit that had the 600 plus items they were removing from the game, but only 146 unique ones if you don't count the things.
Well, if you want to squint and see the silver lining here, the really, really blurry silver lining is that they wouldn't be doing this on something that wasn't profitable.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're continuing to like even have this type of initiative means that For Honor is making them money, which means that they're paying attention to it.
I assume it made money for Siege, for Rainbow Six, and I assume they were going to just do this and make money. But the big problem is that it's like, there's so much. Warframe does this, right? Warframe does the vaulting thing. But Warframe has so much shit in it that when you don't vault things, the loot tables become nonsensical messes that you can never get what you want, right? And then it plays into the whole in-game. This, it's like we have to lock two executions for the Warlord away. It's just so confusing to have eight of them there on the menu. It's so confusing.
For Honor reminds me of the kind of game that you would expect to be like the debut release of a small studio that they just not small, but
not visually, but
no. How do I like? It feels like a Warframe style game where you're like this one small company that's not so big that they can drop it and not care.
A little more naive or inexperienced, not
but would keep supporting
Ubisoft
it over a really long period of time because they have to because it's their baby, right? Like Shovel Knight is to Yacht Club, right? It reminds me of that like type of game, except it's part of a much larger company that can ignore it and not give a fuck. Mm-hmm. Thankfully they're not, and that's I'll take that as a silver lining.
Jim got his video out in time.
Mm-hmm. the sale is still on, it says.
Oh yeah, so they're like, as apologies, the sale will still stay up for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So feel free to buy these things at a discount. The biggest, craziest one is, well, you remember Lawbringer, the guy with the big poleaxe?
Sure. I thought you meant Lawbreakers.
Yeah. Lawbreakers.
So his best execution, like objectively, it kills the fastest and gives tons of hit, was going to be removed with this, which would make the shittiest character in the game even shittier as a result of this quote-unquote UI change. Like, fucking dumb. So good on that, I guess. No claps because they shouldn't have done it in the first place. Aside from that, finally got back into Pillars, and it is nice to play. Like, this is the fastest a game has been stable enough for me to play of this genre ever. Yeah, I know. I say it every time. But I blew, like, the entirety of yesterday just chilling in the main city because it's so fucking big. And got around some goofy, like, what used to be bugs, and now there are workarounds. Probably the most interesting thing about it that I did not notice back when I played it upon release is the game of this genre that your party composition in terms of like narrative affects you the most by far, in that they talk a lot in quests, in that they interject and change the way the conversation is going. So, for a small example, oh, cool, I did this quest, so these guys were shaking down this dude, and I got a discount on his ship building shit, right? And he mentioned some trivial, like, region or place, and one of my party members remarks in an assholish tone, essentially, remember when the Navy fucking massacred all of you pussies? Poof, discount gone. Because
Because
I was dumb enough to have this fucking imperialist in my party when I was talking to this guy. People are interrupting you ever play an RPG where a party member interrupts your dialogue to say something stupid and
not
then
really.
That hurts it? Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird. It's awesome.
Ryuji?
Yeah, well, he's
I mean, that's what his character is fucking built on.
It's super interesting because, I mean, obviously, when you play through a game, my primary concern is, like, what the hell is their class in the party makeup? But it actually puts you in a position as, like, maybe if I go rob these people, I should dump this party member at home. So that they don't get all pissy that that I robbed these people.
Well, how about a feature? Like, could you possibly be like, oh, we're going in this type of town, this is this type of shop, and it's run by like this type of guy. Hey, look up the backstory of all your characters or whatever their things are. Like, maybe you should go do a chore over there, do an errand. We'll run in here real quick so you don't say something mega racist.
Pretty much.
Can you do that?
Yes, well, you can in the summary for their character sheet, you can see all of their likes and dislikes.
Yeah.
So you can see that this person is a profound atheist, or this person is deeply religious.
Or Ryu hates spiders.
Or this guy loves animals, and this girl has stuff like that. And the one that gets me is that there's a party member that is a country bumpkin, and she is a essentially a nun, hyper-religious. And you have a different character that is... The character sheet lists her as anti-religious because atheism for this character is not enough. And in a world in which gods walk around, atheism is ridiculous.
It's not
so
that
no.
I don't believe it's in God. It's that I want to kill them. Yeah. I believe in them and I want them dead.
Right.
Yeah.
So we go to do. I go to do the side quest associated with the priest character, which involves talking about visions and. I shit you not. After. Every single fucking line of dialogue in that quest, you get a little tag underneath that says Palagina huffs and rolls her eyes, or Palagina sighs impatiently. And then I open up their stat sheet and I see like 10 ticks on their character sheet in a row saying, don't like her, don't like her, don't like her, don't like her. And then their relationship bar is at this massive red negative 2. And it's like, oh, if I go and do these things with these characters around, they will hate each other and they will shit fight. And probably the best one is just walking around town. Just one of them goes, hey, you know, do you ever wonder what it's going to be like in hell? You know, what with you being the way you are and stuff? They go, oh, I don't worry about it because I'm not going there. It's like, no, you're going. You ever worry about it? Because I don't. And it's just like, can you fucking
so it's,
guys not
so
for
it's,
a second?
It's like KOTOR, but with bigger consequences.
Yes.
If you have a red and a blue on your
team. It reminds me of, you played Mass Effect 1, right?
Yeah.
You know, in the Mass Effect games, you get to that point where some of your party members just have a straight out shit fight.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of that, but a lot more consistent because everyone is with you at all times.
Okay.
Like, it's just like. Characters that don't like each other, every half hour, they will let you know that they don't like each other because they will say some snide shit or some nice stuff and ask about, oh, your bird's really nice. What? It makes a bigger difference than you would expect.
Nice bird.
Yeah. Makes a bigger difference than you would expect because in this kind of game, you're on a top-down view, wandering around pretty detached for extremely long periods of time. So having them actually interact with each other instead of just being like think of KOTOR, Willie. Think of all the times that we were in a dungeon and Mission didn't say a goddamn word for like 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say a fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. I appreciate it. That game's good. Pillars 2 is good. I like it. For Honor's good.
I like the idea of like your party's just... You're queuing up near the door of a fucking like shop, and just one of them's just like, I'm gonna fucking say something racist, burst in. I'm gonna pick my time, and don't buy it from him.
Unfortunately,
building it up.
Unfortunately, it is often much more difficult than that. In which, oh god, what was it? There's a fucking quest in which this native guy. There's a native tribe there that are pre-industrial. Made a bad land deal with some corporation, right? He goes, you try and talk to him about forgery, and he goes, I don't know what a forgery is. You know, that kind of pre-industrial civilization. And one of your party members just pipes up and says, maybe you should have fucking gotten a lawyer, you fucking savage. And it's like, can you not? I know you're not a fan, but can you just fucking calm it down for like a second?
Yeah.
I appreciate party because too often you have party members. That one's evil. That one's gonna tell you to kill the baby or
it's
whatever.
It's like a devil on your shoulder, basically. Almost.
But is there any games where they will just kill the baby ahead of you before you get a chance?
I want to say yes. Yes.
Where it's like, you like, what the fuck
yes,
are you
there
doing?
Is. In okay. Divinity 2, Original Sin.
Okay, I was going to say Divinity.
The,
I was going to say
2, Original Sin, there's a part where you have Red Prince and Sibyl, the lizard guy and the elf in your party. And you go talk to a merchant. And this is the merchant that sells all of the earth spells, I think. And you go to walk up to him, and Prince goes, hey, hold on a sec. I need to talk to this guy. You need to do some magic shit. So he goes, okay, fine. They go fall asleep. They have a dream, whatever. They come back. Take one more set. Sibyl goes, hey, before you talk to this guy about the quest that you are actually doing, I need to talk to him. You go, okay. Stab. Dead. Quest NPC gone. And your options are... and why?
Yeah.
And the only way to avoid that is to just not have that person in the party.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. Let's take a quick word from our sponsors.
Yes, let's do that.
This week, the podcast is sponsored by Casper.
Casper.
The sleep brand that continues to revolutionize.
Dominate.
Just the landscape of mattress.
Sleep.
The landscape of mattresses, like, just think of these bodies of mattresses lying all over the ground.
In, like, a landfill.
Just defeated,
yeah.
Burning, just done.
On fire.
Consumed by lice and bed bugs.
Yeah.
And on top, above it all.
Laughing.
Floating in the air,
With the light beam shining on it is the Casper mattress.
Right.
With that good memory foam and that science and that tech for your best night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's got three mattress models to choose from. So standing next to the original Casper on that mountaintop is also the Wave and, of course, the Essential. We've got the trio right here of the best sleep you'll ever have.
The three kings.
The pillar men of the mattress industry, if you would.
Yeah. Yeah. Santeno, they call them in Japan. And, you know, not to mention that they're delivered right to your door in a small, amazing box. So the technology already leaps and bounds ahead. Like, what other mattresses stood a chance? No other mattresses delivered in a small, scientific, how do they do that box? I don't know any other mattresses that have free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada.
I am also currently unaware of this.
100 nights risk-free sleep on it trial.
That's more than 3 months. That's ridiculous.
See if your body feels...
It's almost unfair to
the
them,
regeneration. Yeah, it is.
Company.
It really is. Sleep, my masters. Don't awaken. Sleep. If you head on down to casper.com/friendcast and use friendcast at checkout, you get $50 towards select mattresses. That's casper.com/friendcast. Offer code friendcast for $50 off your mattress purchase of select mattresses. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, Casper.
Thanks, Casper.
Thank you.
Podcast is also sponsored by Rocket League.
Rocket League. I hear that's one of them video games.
It is.
Popular video game.
Hey, friends, listen up. Esports' most exciting game, Rocket League, is a sports action hit that combines driving and soccer for all the physics-based gameplay you can handle.
Finally, together.
More than 46 million players have already competed online with friends in Rocket League, and you should be next. Customize your car with hundreds of trillions of possible combinations.
Yeah.
And play with fans of all ages with groundbreaking cross-platform play on most video game systems. If you prefer to play with friends or family nearby, you can do that too with Rocket League's super fun 4-player split-screen feature. You can even play by yourself with an engaging season mode that offers multiple difficulties and team sizes. Rocket League's been nominated for more than 150 awards, and it starts at just $20. It's a no-brainer to pick it up.
You do not need a brain.
Learn more at RocketLeague.com and download Rocket League today on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Steam PC. Rated E for everyone. Thank you, Rocket League.
Thank you, Rocket
Thanks.
League.
It's a good-ass game.
I did not know it had a season mode.
It's got tons.
Almost every platform distribution sort of multiplayer thing is divvied up into seasons.
I know, I own it. I just can't remember where.
I have a friend that does competitive Rocket League, and he like,
I don't know, an
Xbox, and I've gone. They've like those tournaments. Every time we go out to an event, and like they're happening next to FGC events, the size of the crowd just gets bigger and
bigger.
Does
it become a blood sport?
They pop off harder and harder, yeah, and yeah, like the moves that I've seen dudes do in mid air, doing the equivalent of a bicycle kick with a car, is like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, the I remember playing. Me and Liam did the Quick Look ages ago, right? And it's like I was quite novice-y. And it's like, this is fun. And then at some point, I saw footage of what the game becomes. And was like, I don't know how that is done.
Higher level Rocket League is nuts.
That
it's super cool. It's super cool.
I have an update.
Yeah.
He is called Frank Castle, the Ghost Rider.
That's okay. Really, that's even dumber than I thought.
I flipped to a random page and he's talking to Thanos and said, I'm going to go feed the dog right now. Do you want to help? That's all. That's
good.
That's
I like
information
that.
I called today.
Got it.
And did Thanos say yeah?
It was just, he would, like, he said ellipses.
Yeah.
Damn.
He's got a big like how mastiff or something.
How pissed is Johnny Blaze?
I don't know.
He's probably dead.
He probably doesn't exist.
Yeah. At that point, yeah. I imagine.
Getting deliciously close back to Morbius there.
Yeah, the Morbius cast. For me this week, so I'll start off with Ant-Man. I went to go see Ant-Man and Wasp.
Is the villain as cool as they look?
The villain is pretty Ghost. Cool, and the watching Ghost fight is really fun.
It's a looks, better power than the main character. Mm-hmm.
Ghost design, aside from the color, looks exactly like someone from Reork. I want to say the woman character.
Ghost is almost too cool for what Ghost is, however. Mm. The movie itself is all right. It's okay.
Is it better than, did you like it better than the first one?
No, I think I like the first one better.
Oh.
I'll also say that, like, it's the weakest part of Phase 3.
Oh, no.
Okay.
And Phase 3 is a killer lineup.
But even
right?
with...
Like, not just the sequels, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, you know, okay. like...
But this isn't in the context of, because I read a lot of people are like, this is such a breath of fresh air because it's not a dark-ish, big stakes
I don't know.
Thing. Did that bug you, or is
no,
it just the overall quality?
No, the overall quality, okay, because, okay. I mean, I went in expecting more or less what I did with the first one, because I know the tone of Ant-Man is not the same as the others. Because
it would be weird if it was.
It'd be weird if it was, right? There's no reason for that. Right. So, no, I'm going in expecting it to be, you know, more or less, like, yeah, similar in tone to what I got with it, with the first one. But here's the thing. Guardians 2, for example, perfectly continues that flow,
yeah.
and is hilarious and amazing and a really good time.
And it had some darker stuff in
right?
it,
right? So. Thor Ragnarok turns it around, right, and goes in a completely different direction.
A better one,
And
yes.
becomes a whole lot of fun, yeah. right? And, like, Guardians 2, like, I don't know if I liked it more than the first. Maybe I did. I'm not sure, but the fact that I'm even debating that... I feel like
that's fine.
The fact that I'm even debating that, it's like a thing I have to put the both qualities against each other and say what I liked and didn't like, you know? And in this case, I feel like, no, I just definitely enjoyed the first one more. And it was you know?
Okay.
It was all right. I mean, people definitely talked about, too, like, the, you know, it has a good stinger. And, like, yeah, that's there, too. But
well, they better have a good stinger if it has a wasp.
Like bit. I feel like it's all right for now,
oh, wow,
and I feel like getting further away from it. Oh, I think like within a couple months, if not a year's time, it'll be really forgettable.
Mm. Because I'm not sure if I said it directly when I talked about it, but like when I thought about it a bit more, I much prefer Deadpool 1 to 2.
Okay, yeah, I remember
Did you
said
feel
that.
The same or no?
I.
Yeah, you're not sure.
Well, it's hard to say because there's some stuff about 2 that I really enjoyed because I enjoyed the fact that 2 didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Despite like there's it was a worse movie.
There's nobility in that.
That's what it is. It's hard to judge that, right? It's just about how much you care about that. It's almost how Postal was a good time when we went to go see it because Postal was like, oh, you don't give a fuck anymore about how bad you are.
And
right?
not only do you not give a fuck, I can see you there not giving a fuck.
So there's an
right there,
there's
over
an,
there.
There's
okay?
an argument to be made that, like, as much as you don't like about it, the movie doesn't care, right? And in this case, yeah, I just kind of feel like it's unfortunately, like, there's some good punchlines and some funny stuff. T.I. kind of shows up, you know.
Oh, cool.
And the goofy trio from the first movie. Do you even remember?
Yes.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like the goofy trio from the first one. They're there, and everything.
The criminal trio.
Yeah, but it's just a bit like much more forgettable this time around. And I feel as if this is a movie too where I,
because one thing about Ant-Man 1 is that I struggle to remember the villain of that and what he was.
Yellow Jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guy from
thing.
Show about the president.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yellow Jacket was one of the weakest of the whole lineup.
Oh yeah.
And
Ghost is a much better villain this time around.
You know what? Oh, you know what she reminds me of? She reminds me of a fucking Destiny character.
Yeah.
Yeah, that yeah. too.
But that's what I mean when I say she's too cool for what she is, because
Ghost
in the costume being Ghost is this like, whoa, what the? And then there's not that much.
It's like those guys from The Matrix finally made a new movie.
And so it's hard to say, because again, it's not like it wasn't funny or entertaining, like it was, but this is definitely the movie though that made me feel like I started thinking about that collateral damage stuff, where I'm like, really?
Yeah, so what was can
that?
You,
well, just the shrinking and growing of various things public places makes me wonder how people are not getting crushed.
Yeah, like in the trailer, you see
there's
chases.
A car chase in the trailer where you see like they shrink and then they pop big and then the car goes flying, and it's a crowded like San Francisco mountain like road, like that car is gonna go flying into people. Mm. There's a crowd that's gonna act as like a cushion for that skidding vehicle, you know, like and then bigger things and whatnot happen, so you kind of go like, whoa, I'm going to continue to have that suspension of disbelief and believe that, like, if the movie doesn't show people dying, that no one died. But it's getting harder and harder to believe
Okay.
You know? It's imagine if you see a character, like, with a gun just firing into a crowd, and then the crowd scatters and, like, it's fine. But you're like, but is that possible?
That's weird, because if you did see a scene like that and it didn't show people, like, getting,
John Wick.
Like, impacts, then I assume that they're
alive. John Wick 2 has some outrageous
John Wick's
shit
club
with that.
Scene
yeah.
is ridiculous.
No, I'm not even thinking of that. I'm talking about the when they're fighting in Montreal.
Oh yeah,
and
sure.
Him and the tall black guy.
Yeah,
they're shooting at each other in a huge crowd.
Yeah, him and Common are just going at
like,
it. It's insane.
And they're not looking at each other either.
No, but you have to assume, again, they're so skilled that they're not going to hit anybody. Just
so
like assuming that Frank Castle's not going to hit anybody when he opens fire
That's his superpower.
When he opens fire in a hospital.
With a shotgun.
Right? You're like, are you crazy? And he's like, no, but I'm also not going to. You have to assume, right? And this kind of, there's a couple moments in this movie, not a ton, but one or two, that definitely make me go like, that means people died. Like, it's harder and harder to believe they didn't. But, you know,
Scott Lang has a heart of gold. He'd never let anyone die.
Never.
I will say that that whatchamacallit? What's his name?
Director
Morpheus.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne and Michelle Pfeiffer are great.
Okay.
And
yeah, because they're great.
They are. And
even in his terrible role in John Wick 2, I was like, oh yeah. It's Lawrence Fishburne.
He's fishburning it up. He's kind of like, there's definitely like, he's starting to have a Morgan Freeman where it's like you have a peak version of your personality that you can just be.
Yeah, but it's a Morgan Freeman that'll stab you.
Yeah. Well, in this case, Lawrence Fishburne is definitely Lawrence Fishburning it. But I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed Michelle
that
Pfeiffer's
dude was
role
a
well.
Dream warrior, man.
It's true.
He was a dream warrior.
Yeah, I think the only thing left is Captain Marvel and then Avengers 4.
I believe so.
Of this phase. But I think it's not a stretch to say it's the weakest of this phase.
Did you see that fucking Spider-Man Far From Home fake mock-up poster that looked super real?
I didn't. I know of it, but I didn't see it.
It's the worst fucking awful tease ever. Because it's Spider-Man hanging out on some fucking planet with his... his feet and ankles being eaten by black goo.
Like it's
and it's like, oh no,
he's in on another planet because it's called Far From Home because he's in Europe.
Space though.
No, but they confirmed like Marvel is like, oh, space. he's gonna be going to another country.
Speaking of dumb comic book bullshit,
I don't know anything
in that. Frank Castle, Skull Rider, Head Flame comic. You mentioned that they were going to go feed the dog.
Yeah.
Did you happen to flip the pages past that to find out who or what the dog is?
No, I did not.
I have a feeling we might want to check that.
Was page one of that comic a penance stare?
Yes.
Damn.
Really? Page one?
Page one.
Yeah, I think it was talking about the penance stare. I mean, it was using a visual, but... Talk amongst yourselves.
Well, no, just, yeah, like Thanos has heralds, I guess. I know Apocalypse has heralds. Yeah, everyone's got their heralds.
It's the Hulk.
The Hulk.
Galactus has
the
heralds.
The Maestro Hulk.
Oh. We're going to go feed the dog. It's the Hulk.
Holy shit.
Okay.
Thanks, random guy on Twitter.
Damn. Maestro's, he was mean.
Maestro gets around. Maestro's in lots of shit.
He's evil Hulk. He's evil Hulk from the future, yes?
Yeah.
He is a evil Hulk from the future. There's multiple evil Hulks from the future.
Future Imperfect, I want to say. I remember reading the start of that, but never the conclusion, and it was like, wow, you're...
Also read some Spider-Man 2099, where he's like, oh, the Maestro, fuck that guy.
Full-on Immortan Joe.
Yeah,
with it. Anyway, yeah, I think just checking this out. Yeah, starting with Civil War, Doctor Strange, Guardians 2, Homecoming, Ragnarok, Black Panther, Infinity War, Avengers 4, Captain Marvel, and
that's
Ant-Man and
Wasp. Really good lineup.
That's
in
a fucking.
General,
that's what I'm saying, right? Like it didn't have much of a chance. Those were all really good movies. Mm-hmm. But it's. I don't want to say that there's no jokes or punchlines. There's some funny stuff in it. But yeah, that's how that was.
Okay.
I played some Pocket Fighter since that came out on the Switch this week, and that is like really
weird. Yeah.
It's really like the training move. The training mode is kind of walks you through how different and weird this is, because you expect it to just be like, okay, it's a small like Neo Geo Pocket Fighters style
homage
game,
right?
And you expect it to just be that,
yeah.
But system wise, it actually does a really weird thing where, like, okay, diagonals and holding a button is how you get special moves out.
I don't know about that.
Mainly not up diagonals though, just down, back, and down forward, right? And it ends up working out fine. Although I am like a. I don't like the whole tap and hold. I'm not a fan of that, but it is what it is. They have to, like, you know, tap for like getting a crouching normal versus holding for the special move.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes getting used to. And but the most weird thing about it that's really interesting.
Their characters play a little differently than you'd expect. Like they're almost Guilty Gear-esque.
Well, more
and then they have gimmicks.
To the extreme. That's where I was going. Okay. Right. I was going with the fact that Bar in Pocket Fighter does not mean the same thing for every character.
Okay.
It's completely different. Everyone has meter usage that is like radically out there. One person, it's meter equals like a Shinku Hadoken. That's your normal guy.
That seems pretty normal.
But then you have another person where like it equals a parry.
What?
You now have a free orb that surrounds you and you have a free...
That's just silly.
And that's full meter spent, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what the grappler gets. Another character just turns into a John Tailbane werewolf for like seconds.
Like 6-7 seconds.
You get like maybe 5 seconds of werewolf. If you get hit, it goes away. You do like one or two moves tops and then it's gone type of thing.
That seems
and
weird.
That's what that character gets. Another character, it just creates an after image of them, like Bedman.
Yeah.
And then you choose when you want that to appear, you know, and that's what the whole bar does. So like it's these weird like things that are just like so different from everyone. Every character with that is really unique. There's one character that like has like it's almost like a Karl Clover situation where there's a cat.
Yeah.
And they don't – the main character doesn't dash. When you dash, the cat moves around the screen. but they just walk back and forth, and you position both to try and do like pressure from both sides. But it's
I'm so fucking bad with those characters.
It's really, really like it's an interesting like thing that like went like let's fucking go way out there with how different these characters are going to be from each other.
I think at the end of the day, they were like, we can make a Pocket Fighter homage, but then that's it.
Yeah,
like that's all we're going to do. So let's find ways to make it different. And it's, I guess, up to the player whether they're successful or not.
Yeah. And it feels very like.
Because visually, it's all on point with Pocket Fighter.
Like, it
there's
does.
No variation there.
But like, and there's some parts of it that feel like very not Japanese. Like the
well,
amount of
not.
The amount of disrespect to KO'd bodies in this game is very not Japanese. I will say too that like, since it's like, it's kind of like bare bones features right now. It's got like a versus CPU and it's got like a little career / arcade mode.
Yeah, I was saying this to you. It's like, it is very bare bones. It's still more stuff than Flex.
Yeah, you know, they're both a little light right now, but
yeah.
I know more stuff's coming. Well, I mean,
yes,
hell, we're invested in stuff coming, but I also found that because it's, I don't know if there's difficulty settings, but I feel like it's always on hardest.
It feels pretty hard.
It feels like
maybe you're just bad and old.
I would like to definitely like see some more perspective on this, because it feels like you, depending on the character you pick, you're just going to blow out the computer or get blown out, and there's no. Like, it's all rushed down all the time. There's no opportunity.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, when the computer just starts on you, they stay on you, and that's it. And you're really, like, yeah, you're either your character has tools to deal with it, or they don't, you know?
No. No, computer, no.
And not to mention that it's also got a Fantasy Strike-style system of hits equal, like, limited blocks of damage. So your life bar is actually made up of hit points.
Of pips.
Pips, exactly.
Yeah.
So you have to take pips into consideration.
I
as
like
well.
That system, kind of.
I can appreciate it. I don't know how I feel about it.
I would have wanted it in every game.
Well, it makes it easier to tell how things are balanced.
And
right?
Like what will kill you if you really know the moves.
Yeah, you can see how long a thing takes to start up, how long it takes to cool down, and how much damage it does when it does land. You know, but
because if you tell me in a Street Fighter game, oh, this does 150 damage, I'm like, okay,
what does that mean?
I
right?
don't know
but
what
yeah,
that means in terms of my life bar.
Right, you have to, if you, so like that's where you have to go a little, you know, deeper, kind of go like, okay,
yeah,
the life bar
really
is 1,000, and this means that.
You do math.
Plus, and
absolutely not.
And literally, yes, math, because people want to figure out what damage scaling means.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. In this game, though, it doesn't feel like there's really long combos. It feels like you're going to be
jumping
to like one or two normals to a special. So
yeah.
Street Fighter 2-esque, you know. I think it'll be a good time. I think we'll have fun with it. But I'm just really like surprised at how different the game is being about being a fighting game when it comes to the character unique systems.
I think for a long time its visuals and its trailers made it maybe kind of seem like it was more standard.
Because you think you're getting that when you see
the Steam version and the early access one?
I played the Kickstarter preview.
Because at least the Steam version I remember playing months ago, and it did have these things where it's like, yeah, the special moves were done via diagonals and stuff. So I was always anticipating that. But I think overall, now that the product's like more or less like done for launch, at least it's like, yeah, it does feel a little more. It's like unique is how to say it in a good way. And it's like, I think you can certainly say that, but there's also like maybe awkwardness a little
bit.
It's
going to take getting used to, but I do like that they went for something different.
And the character designs are all cool. Like all the characters.
The character designs are pretty strong. Yeah. I feel like if they went for something a bit more typical, then it would have been easily kind of dismissed as a game.
Yeah.
I think that going for that helps it. And it certainly helps it on a Switch controller, I will say.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, you're playing on like fighting games are not great on the Switch in terms of just
on the
my options. Because you've got a stick or you've got four buttons. There's no cross option unless you get the Nyko pad. So
although the regular Pro Pad has a D-pad.
Yeah.
Yes, if you switch to a Pro Pad, that's true too. But I meant like of the Joy-Cons.
Oh, you mean on the handheld? No,
on the
your options suck shit.
So having that like input system like makes that work a little bit better, you know? But yeah, so there's that. And then I also played a whole lot of Hollow Knight.
Oh, okay.
So you're the first. Did you get into Hollow Knight? some point, Matt?
Well, we did a video of it.
Yeah,
I think
but
it was the one.
Did you dive the fuck in?
A little bit past the video we did, but not much.
All right, so Wooly, you're the first one of us to dive into the game that everyone tells us to play. How's Hollow Knight?
Ooh, that game's got stuff. That game's got stuff.
The first thing that I played it is that cartography system is fucking weird compared to every other game in that genre.
It is, and to be perfectly honest, you know, maybe 2 hours in, you get everything you need for it, and you're sorted.
Mapping.
But every time you enter a new area, this is a Metroidvania where every time you enter a new area, you've got to find the map guy somewhere in there.
And be like, hey, can I get it?
And then you'll get the map. But like, just because you've gotten the map doesn't mean you've explored the map, and certainly doesn't. So there's going to be a lot of time you spend wandering into random doors, and then those doors lead to other doors that lead to other doors. And by the next time you check your map, you're way off into like nothing, like non-space. Your little cursor for where you are
always in a blank
is in a void, and you're just like, you know,
oh, I'm very lost now.
You're like, where the fuck am I? And that's not even counting the areas where the map just doesn't come up because it's like you just don't have one. Right? There's areas where it's just like, no, you're just way the fuck out wherever. Furthermore, once you buy, because you buy your map, you buy your cursor to show where you are. Man. Every individual thing that pops up on the map is also like shops. That's another purchase. Updating the map with your own drawings is a purchase, and that's important because that means uncovering new areas actually stay uncovered.
Yeah.
So you know which doors you didn't go into and out of, and that doesn't happen as you do it. It only happens on your next bench or death.
Oof.
So you will wander into God knows where, really, really deep. And unless you fucking wrap that up somehow, like hit a bench and sit down, that's a whole bunch of map that you're not going to see updated, you know? Difficulty spikes.
Yeah.
It gets really tricky. It's funny in the sense that, like, there's harder normal enemies in some cases than bosses. And some bosses really just go like, okay, we're just going to fucking go in on you right now. Bosses where it's a struggle to get through, and then you get through, and then there's like a phase of like, nah, you're not done yet. And the whole time, a lot of it is based on kind of the idea that it feels like you can just wander in like less optimal ways than others, and the game doesn't stop you. So like getting a damage upgrade, which it took me a while to find.
Yeah.
Was like, it meant that everything I fought before that, just you had to wail on it for a while.
Would have made it way easier
to have that upgrade or to have that ability. In some cases, though, just kind of randomly exploring in a direction or going back somewhere that you just kind of see something that looks a little suspicious. And then sometimes that little suspicious hole leads to like a little pickup. Other times that leads to a zone.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, fuck. You see the title of the zone appear and you're like, okay, wait, I was going there. All right, fuck it.
And the game has really good titles for zones.
It
and
does.
Things.
It
like,
does.
It just, it's very, like,
is it
soul-y.
The kind of thing where you get to the new zone, you're like, and then you walk forward and hit an enemy a couple times and it doesn't die and you just slowly back out?
You have those. You have, like Hallwagon doesn't work here. It does not work here. You have to just pick and commit to spaces that are conveniently in front of you, and you're like, and like, because like sometimes you'll walk into a room and then you'll see a door immediately beneath you and then a zone of enemies above you, and you're like, fuck it, I'll just ignore this room for now and go that way, because the most important thing you're trying to do is hit that map, hit that bench, then worry about it. It's almost like wandering into a new zone and trying to find the bonfire.
Yeah,
that's, you know what I mean, you're like, we'll figure this bullshit out, whatever the fuck that thing is that's attacking me, I'll figure that out later, you know? Lore is strong, lore is fun,
yeah.
World is fun, characters are all very well, like put together and written, I feel. And you get an ability deep into the game that lets you squeeze a little bit more juice out of characters you thought you were done with. And that is really fun as well, to kind of like go around and explore and play with. You, of course, the jumps between, like, at first you get like, all right, I'm getting a spin attack, I'm getting a little air dash,
that sounds
or whatever.
Pretty standard.
And then those jumps start becoming larger and larger to use till the point where you're like, okay, you're going straight into Shine Spark.
Okay.
You're going straight into huge buffs that are all optional equipment thing slots, right? So the equipment slot system in this game too is also very, really unique because you have like three places where you can put on three badges, if you imagine, right?
Get your badges.
And one badge might let you...
They're primed.
One badge will, might let you swing and not go not get pushed back when you swing.
Right.
Another badge might let you let your sword reach a little further, and a third badge might let you let the money fly to you instead of you fly to the money, right? Sometimes
money
that...
Money comes to me.
Yeah, and like there's tons of little things in the game like that. Then you start finding badges that take up two slots of those three.
Right.
So then you have to reconfigure your build to be like, okay, this is a thing that takes three slots, so I can only wear one.
But I assume it's good.
But it makes me my magic really strong when I cast, right?
Big magic.
Then you find the shops that are like, here's how you get more of these slots.
And then you're like, now I can put...
Mixing and matching and building and customizing so you can really, really figure out a build that works for you. And like there's lots of options with that. And the more badges you collect, kind of, the more you get access to these slots. So
I know a couple of people like personally that like all started Hollow Knight were like, yeah, you know, it's a Metroidvania, and then they really get into it.
Yeah. It's a game you can really get into. There's a lot there. Mm. It takes a while to really fully like uncover an area, like to really chart an area completely. It takes a minute, you know. You can definitely just race through and just find yourself going from one zone to another and collecting maps and whatnot. But like, yeah, to really scour and get everything out of a spot, you're going to be there for a minute. You've also got money that is on a, like, there's a death pickup system, right?
Yeah, so, I remember.
You know, don't die twice. Don't die on the way to pick up your money. Money is also, it's not hard earned, but like, when you kill a person and like five coins drop out, that means you have five. You know, like you're not.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's not like you're going to pick up
a money bag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And things get expensive. You know, like you're seeing things that cost like, oh, that costs 18,000.
Well, if there's so much customization, then yeah.
It's like that costs 1,800 coins and this enemy gives me five.
Yeah.
Fuck. Don't die. Don't drop your coins, you know. There's some really awesome unexpected moments where like mini FMVs just cut into the game. And they're super seamless and like unexpected and really cool without really saying more. Like sometimes you just get these like, oh fuck, where suddenly a cutscene happened.
Mm-hmm.
Feels really tight, feels really good. Can't recommend it enough. And yeah, like now I'm about probably like 15 hours in or so.
Whoa. Okay. What do you think that is percentage wise?
Or does it say?
It's hard to say because...
It's one of those you have no idea when the game's going to end.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I'm over the 50% mark, but I also saw on the main menu that like there's these DLC like campaigns
yeah,
that
there's
are...
Yeah, there's been a lot
oh,
of DLC
yeah?
that got like
well.
Three or four packs got dropped into the game.
So you might actually only be a third or less.
So even if I hit the end of the game itself, there's probably entire zones that are...
Of the base game.
Of the base game. There's these DLC things that I'm like, I have no idea if I hit it or not.
Now,
Willie,
you have been lavishing this with pretty large amounts of praise. Are there any notable flaws that really bug you?
You?
Bugs.
It
is a serious question. Though.
Nothing that you can't fix with a different badge.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Oh, do you not like how quickly, like, you get hit and you're invincible for like a second and then you have that recovery flash? Do you not like how fast you can get hit again? Put on the badge that lets you
modify it into your preferred feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's cool.
You know what I mean? That's the thing. Like, there's little things. Like I really hated the fact that every time I hit something, I got pushed back from it. Because there's some times where you're fighting things, and you're really, really... You're on, like, little Mega Man platforms, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
little Mega
small.
Man 2 boxes.
No.
And you're trying not to fall to a death pit. And, like, you're doing these jumps, and each time you jump and swing and hit the thing, it's moving you a little bit off the platform. And so mm-hmm. you have to reposition. And little moments like that. And I'm like, fuck, I don't want that. And then it's like, oh, yeah, there's a badge for that. You know, any little mistake or thing that you don't like about how it feels or whatever, there's a badge for it. And that fixes pretty much anything. Really, yeah.
You've convinced me to give this game another shot.
Yeah. No, I won't spoil that.
Yeah, okay. Don't do that. Only villains do that.
Yeah. Some really fun boss fights. Mm-hmm. Really fun enemy types. And a world that is really interesting in its, like, insect, Secret of Nim. Gloomy. Now, you know the Secret of Nim and all those mouse level stories?
That's a bit more cheery than this.
Well,
gloomy game.
I mean, it's not. This is gloomier than that for sure.
But it has that type.
Yeah, yeah, but it's that type of like let's zoom into the world within the world world and like you're swinging not a sword but a nail, you know, and stuff, and yeah, some fun characters to be met. I'd absolutely recommend Hollow Knight. I mean, we already did when we took a look at it on the channel, but like
even when I played it, like I fucked around with it for like a half hour. I'm like, this game's great.
Yeah,
and then I put it aside for later.
Yeah, there's a whole lot to go back into here. Fuck yeah, man. Hollow Knight. Good shit.
I have a very cool update about Spider-Man on the PS4. The people have confirmed that they, when you hit an enemy off a building, the game detects whether your hit is going to do that to him. So it attaches a trip wire onto his body webs him to the side of the building
whenever he falls and you see him get webbed up.
There's a screenshot from a stream where they're showing it. You can crawl to the other side of the building and see that he's webbed up against
it. They probably sat there and was like, this is a stupid problem that we should probably solve.
But we want to have you have fights on top of buildings.
You know, where Spider-Man usually fights people?
Yeah. So that's very cool. Thank you, Twitter.
Before we head over to news, I would like to have everyone shut up, but I didn't want to interrupt you because you were having a Hollow Knight thing and it was very interesting. Everybody shut up.
Okay.
Broly is canon again.
Okay.
He's going to be the new villain of the new Dragon Ball Super movie.
Good.
Oh.
Remember when...
But is the movie canon?
Remember... Yeah. They're doing that now.
Under Toriyama, so like in the last few years, because
there's a lot of Dragon Ball movies that aren't canon, including Broly.
But starting with Gods of Destruction, they've just been movie versions of stuff they'll
then
later
Return
do.
Of
so,
F.
So you remember when I think the fucking director of a bunch of the episodes was like, fucking Broly, no, the director of the Broly movie way back was going on Twitter saying, man, Broly could fucking body everybody in the Tournament of Power, no problem, you fucking badass. Well, here he is.
So that means
back again.
So the DLC
for you.
So the DLC, Dragon Ball FighterZ Broly is actually this new canon future Broly.
No, he's probably going to be like Super Saiyan God or some stupid shit.
Yeah.
Not to mention, like, what does that make of the Saiyan girls version of Broly?
Makes them the knockoffs they were always destined to be.
Gotcha. Okay. Well. Leave Jiren to Broly?
Jiren says leave Broly to me.
And then gets bodied.
Well, that's nice. That's a nice little bone we got there. That's cool.
I like Broly. Cool. Because he's a big guy. Because
he's Brock Lesnar. That's it.
He's Bork Laser.
He's Brock Lesnar of the fucking Dragon Ball universe, and Paul Heyman is his dad.
Does Broly
and that's it.
Have the stupidest justification for being a villain of all time?
Wah, I'm a fucking baby, wah.
Yeah. I think it is.
But
yeah.
Sometimes that's fine for a big super muscle character, you know what I mean?
Like, well, the problem is that he's like a talking person originally.
That's true.
Like, he's a... Well, he's not a human being, but you know what I mean. Like, he has conversations.
Yeah.
I can't think of any dumber. I'm trying, actively.
So. I'm sure there is,
I'm going to murder you and your whole fucking extended family because when you were 10 minutes
old... You kept
old,
me up.
You cried.
That's it.
Unless Goku sounded like that.
No.
You know?
Not to mention you remembered that. Somehow.
That's fucked up that you remember that. I don't remember that, Broly.
All right.
Well, yeah, because you were a slightly smaller baby. I was a huge, muscly baby, said Broly. We moving on to news.
Who was the legendary super baby, though?
Yeah, it was Broly.
Are we sure?
Probably.
Because what about legendary the legend? Where did the legend come from, though?
The legend came from Bardock and that shitty movie.
But then does that make that, does that mean that Bardock was the legend?
Yeah, no. It does.
They don't
straight
know.
Up say that.
So then it wasn't Broly?
No, Bardock went back in time.
And it wasn't Goku when he defeated Frieza?
No, it was Bardock went back in time to beat up Frieza's grandpa.
Why are we retconning this legend like four times?
It's because... Shut up.
It's because it needs a legend, but they realize that their legend was stupid.
Because Bardock is popular because he's got the red bandana.
Hey, yeah. Here's an idea. Let's not have a legend. Let's not have a chosen one.
But now we have... But we
Let's
had,
not have a prophecy.
We made that mistake a long time ago, and now we can't...
Unless you're, unless you have a fiction where, like, you see how the dumb prophecy came to be based on some stupid bullshit, like, just, no. There's no, it doesn't feel special anymore.
But then again, you shouldn't even be looking or talking to me, because I think Super Saiyan 4 should come back and just be the best one. So.
With the fur?
Yeah.
You see,
apple bottom jeans.
You see,
the whole world is looking at her.
Doing, like, SSJ4 versus Blue.
Good.
That's stupid.
Because 4 will win.
Hey, on that news doc, do you got any of the TennoCon stuff?
Sure do.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Woo.
I
just wanted to remind you if you didn't, because there's a lot in there, actually.
Well, I'll start off with the coolest stuff.
Let's start off with the coolest stuff and only get shittier from there so people can just stop listening.
All right. At the top of my cool list, Loco Crazy, the guy who came up with Frame Fighter.
Yes.
Shot me a message showing off the... cabinet that they made for Warframe TennoCon.
Yeah, I think it was, I forget who it was. It was either Megan or Rebecca who just took a shot of like the super close up shot of the button layout. Just going, what's this?
They made a full on Frame Fighter cabinet
that
it works, and it has the game playing the fighting game.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's a it's really stupid, but there is a Flappy Bird clone inside of Warframe.
I did not know that.
When you pick Zephyr, the bird Warframe, you hit a button. It's the only frame that has a weird button on the side where it goes inventory or colors, and it has an extra one, and you click it, and you play Zephyr Bird or whatever, and it's exactly just Flappy Bird. So I assume this will actually happen with that's what this is going to turn into, where you just pick one of the characters that is available in here and hit like
it has the mini game inside of it
on their character select, and you just play it.
Super weird.
It's so dumb. It's the dumbest.
So I saw that. Congrats, Loco Crazy, again for getting that out there. I saw something that was like. What the fuck is the name of the planet or whatever?
Venus?
No.
Fortuna?
Become...
You need to give me more information.
There was a Detroit Become Human parody name that was an announcement from TennoCon. I started reading it, and then it started talking about the two story missions that you described, and I was like, I'm not going to read this just in case.
Don't read that.
Yeah. But it was like it was like following on the trails of...
The Sacrifice.
And...
following off of The War Within and The Sacrifice and The Second Dream, they're now bringing out the new war.
And there was basically a parody name of something that an announcement that sounded like it was making fun of Detroit.
Oh, I did not see that.
Oh, no? Okay. Well, I'm going to search quickly to try and find it. But like, they announced that in a bunch of other Warframe things. No?
They announced two big-ass Warframe things. One... was one that everybody knew about. They're gonna. So they had that open world on Earth.
Tau becomes sentient.
Okay, that does sound kind of. Yeah.
What is Tau?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not up to date on my Warframe lore.
Well, I mean, it literally was like after nearly 3 years of building up Warframe universe through the cinematic trilogy of The Second Dream, The War Within, and The Sacrifice, Digital Extremes announces the next big advent.
Oh, shouldn't have read that.
So. So that's where I stopped reading.
Yeah.
Right? I was like,
that's interesting.
So I'm like, that name sounds like a parody, but those were very serious things you described that were important and good. So I was like, oh shit. And then I should probably like leave that alone.
Yes.
And so I didn't read past that first sentence, really.
Yeah. I read slightly past it. Went, oh!
okay.
So they announced Fortuna, which is going to be the Venus big icy open world, like the Plains of Eidolon that they showed off.
Mm-hmm.
It's way bigger and weirder looking. Like, it's this ice mushroom hellscape with bugs. It's fucking weird. Alongside that, you also get a hoverboard, which is new. But the thing that got everybody to freak out was the... update, the expansion past that that nobody knew shit about, which is called Railjack. And if you saw a bunch of footage of from Warframe coming out this weekend that made no sense to you, it was probably from this.
Okay.
So Railjack is going to be you and your party taking control of a big fucking spaceship, Guns of Icarus style, with a pilot and weapons people and engine room guy doing big ass ship combat.
Cool.
In space. Including...
That's a different video game.
Including, you need to go disable that other ship. Hold on, let me hit the airlock. Fly over and go into the level and disable this other ship from far away.
That's a completely different video game.
They keep doing that? I don't know how long you've had your ear to this shit, but they keep doing that where you go, that's a totally different video game. It's crazy. I think a friend of mine was even describing that, like, yeah, to win the encounter, you have to get to the right spot and then turn off everything on the ship to power up the gun to the absolute max and do shit like that.
Digital extremes, huh?
That's crazy.
Wow.
Game's also coming to the Switch.
Yes.
So good for people who want to play this game in their beds or on their toilet.
I guess one thing I'm wondering is I haven't heard of TennoCon until this weekend.
Until this second.
So, like, when...
That is in London, Ontario.
Oh, really? Yeah, and like, sense. Is this the second or third one?
It has been going on for a while, like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So it's been... Warframe's been big enough to have its own con for
a couple of years, at least.
It hasn't been big enough, but... Because it's right near where the developer is, it's like easy to do it. You know what I mean? Imagine if they did this in Los Angeles. They wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But because it's in their backyard.
Yeah. This is next door to the studio.
Yeah. Good idea. Like, you can do it with an MMO, but it's like very ambitious.
I don't know what this game is anymore. I'll tell you what, though. Destiny looks really stupid after that Railjack demo. Like... Mm. I cannot think of a single game of this type or even close to it that just decided, hey, let's add space combat other than that one tour expansion. Do you remember that one where they added ships that you could do space combat in?
I didn't pay attention to Tor.
Neither did I.
But, yeah, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Not looking at that.
Okay, well, it's gone. I was like, let me just play a teaser from
the
announcements.
The developer straight up said, if you didn't finish Sacrifice, turn the stream off.
All right, well, you know what? Fuck it.
That's the way Warframe quests work.
I decided, hey, we're watching some TennoCon footage here. Let me just play
you're
a video of hype gameplay.
Watch. No.
As someone might have...
Their teasers are Sephiroth walks back out from the dead and goes... Time to go kill Goofy.
Why are we watching hype gameplay instead of this? Then I'm like, okay, let me put up some hype gameplay. Oh no! We'll leave it here then.
And for the future, Wolves, in order to protect yourself if you ever decide to jump right in,
I am.
The way that you do it is the video clip you're looking at have a title? If the clip has a title of any kind, don't look at it.
Let me simplify. I will just not look ever.
Yeah, that works.
I'll just play game if I play game when I play game.
Like if there's a footage that somebody says like Fortuna open world whatever, that's fine. But if it says rise from grave or whatever, just don't look at it.
Man, this thing's got some people.
You could look at the Fortuna trailer.
Some people are saying the Fortuna trailer. That's what they're saying.
The Fortuna trailer has
is that old
stuff. No, that's from this weekend.
Okay.
That was them showing off the open world. Because they had the open world that had one faction, the Grineer, and then this is the second one they're making that has the other faction, the Corpus.
So this is not story content?
Hell no. This is them running around a big open world on a jetpack, on a hoverboard, which hopefully is not consumable. I bet it's going to be fucking consumable. It's going to make everybody very sad.
Okay.
I hate it.
Cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. So,
any other announcements?
They did the Switch version. They announced Railjack. They announced Fortuna. They announced that a bunch of the open world changes that they're going to make to Fortuna are going to get rolled back into the game, which is something is a, kind of a problem that Warframe has a lot, in which the new area has the new stuff, But then the old area still works the old way, and it sucks. So,
like gameplay is clashing up against each other.
They're going to roll these changes back into the older areas to kind of keep it up. And then they announced
I just saw a zip board.
Yeah. No, that's your little hoverboard thing. They announced that they were going to have their this weapon or that weapon. They announced that they're working on a vampire frame and a frame that looks like a female Anubis. And I say that in that it literally has the fucking spikes, the blades coming off the arm, just like Anubis. And Graham is getting primed, which is fucking stupid.
Okay.
Oh, and the frame that I used in all of my streams that I paid $40 for is getting unvaulted in like a week or some shit. So if I had waited, whatever. It happened.
What song? What song? Play the song? What song? What song?
They want the Devil May Cry song, you asshole.
We're doing news right now. Okay.
You did
that
this.
Monster
is it's actually
your fault.
Is about 100 times larger than it appears.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because that's...
That is about 200 feet tall.
That's a fucking monster.
Yeah, there are people that live in it.
Wow. Wow.
It's weird.
That's cool.
I love Warframe's weird bioorganic techno space shit.
It's unique. It's so much more interesting than everything in Destiny.
Yeah.
Oh, Fortuna has a song, apparently.
Oh, I did not know that. I did not listen to any of the songs.
There you go.
I'm sure the song is a spoiler.
Yeah.
Music spoilers are real.
I know they are.
They're so super real.
Don't look at the track list for Nier.
Yeah, exactly. There's that. But no. But even just like even just hearing a thing before you want to hear a thing, you know? Although it was really weird watching Tron Legacy again the other day and like knowing the... Did I say that last week? I think I did.
I don't remember.
I was like knowing the soundtrack top to fucking bottom while watching the movie. And like as soon as the first note hits, I'm like, oh yeah, it's this song. Oh, that's what the visual was. Because I like that's the one time where I knew the soundtrack way more
than the movie.
Than the movie itself.
I
yeah.
can see that.
All right, let's get into some news. So yeah, that's getting a Switch port. That was a piece of docket news.
It's made by Panic Button, the guys who did the Doom and Wolfenstein ports.
So
and
they Rocket can League. Fucking do it. Panic Button sure turned from making one of the worst games ever, Sonic Boom, to making some of the best ports ever.
So, I don't know if there's a date on this, but no, it doesn't have a...
I'll tell you what.
A release window.
You know what Warframe's really bad with? Dates.
Mm-hmm.
Sacrifice was coming soon for like a year and a half, and then it just drops.
When it's ready?
It is the most when it's ready it's ever been. Ever.
Here's a question. When you port a new version of this game that has so much built-up free content over the years...
That's correct.
Do you even, like, how do you handle stuff where the window of opportunity to get that thing was way back when?
Okay, so...
And you just can't do it anymore.
I will explain this again because it's complicated. The only thing...
Unless you just log into your profile.
No, there's no cross stuff. Okay, the way, then. And it's not just because of Sony's crossplay shenanigans. Yeah, it's also because the way that money works between the versions is different. The only shit that is genuinely actually exclusive forever is Excalibur Prime, the main guy on the box, because he was a founder's pack back when the game was broke. And they're legally prevented by that contract from ever selling that frame ever again. I think there is also one gun that came with that. That is also... That gun is terrible,
that's
right?
Nuts. That's nuts.
So, yeah, Wooly, here's why Sacrifice is important. When Sacrifice dropped, it added a new type of frame to the game called an Umbra, which is a dark, evil-looking version of Excalibur. Which is for everyone who can't get Excalibur Prime.
Gotcha.
It just replaces that niche entirely. So anything that would
But in
be,
terms of a new port...
In terms of a new port, they would port the current console patch. And anything that's vaulted would be vaulted. Anything that's unvaulted would be vaulted. And anything that is currently vaulted will, at some point, be unvaulted. Or you could trade for it with plat.
Okay, so anyone that's new here is just going to have to wait a little bit. But it'll the chance...
Or Payola. The money to Sephiroth 420.
Okay.
Okay, I got to correct myself. It's not Panic Button that made Sonic Boom. That was Big Red Button.
Is
that's a really similar name.
Is Umbra actually better than Prime? Okay.
That... Panic Button made stuff like Hulk Hogan's main event for the Kinect. Miss Explosion Man, I guess,
they made something called Primal Carnage.
Yeah, I think they just poured a lot of stuff. Like, they did ReCore, apparently. They worked on the Ruby game.
Yeah, so there's that.
God, the Sonic Boom developers must be doing shit all.
I feel like Warframe, now that it's entered into the consciousness of here, like, it's going to come up every 6 months and be like, so they added racing. They added a dating simulator.
I was about to say dating simulator.
Yeah, you know, like, the Uber, it's the game.
I feel all news for a while now has become like, this is getting ported to the Switch. Yes. Like, tons of Switch
people
ports
who
coming
were
in, hot and heavy.
People who were late on supporting it are going, shit!
Yeah. And it's all happening now.
And
the scramble's happening now.
Though, unlike the Wii, people are finding, like, pretty big success, like, especially with like an MMO like this, like Fortnite. I don't know, it's just 2 million downloads in like a day.
Fucking do it.
And then Paladins, mm-hmm. or what's the other mm-hmm. one then?
Yeah,
Paladins.
And
yeah.
Then now this, like,
I grabbed the Ikaruga on PS4 the other day, you know, and then I was like, I'm just going over Hollow Knight. I'm like, oh fuck, it was on Switch too. Yeah. You know,
I recently hung out with my 6-year-old nephew, and he's like, hey, do you play Fortnite? And I'm like,
yes.
No, actually. I want to play it, but mom and dad won't let me play it. And I'm like, oh, that sucks, kid. But I play it at my friend's house. Good for you, kid. You show mom and dad.
So, the date on Darksiders 3 was always nebulous. However,
Darksiders 3 starring the ever super exciting Horseman Fury.
Woman with whip.
However, November 26th on the Microsoft Store was sort of leaked a little bit. Yeah.
The last time they showed footage of the game, it looked a bit better. But like that first showing of footage.
Oh man, the one that should never happen.
Early last year. That seems to me like you need more time than November 26th. But whatever, what do I know? Probably
not. It's been quiet on the Western Front for a bit.
Did you see the $400 version of this game?
Does that include the game?
Standard edition is a copy of the game, pre-order bonus with an armor skin. Deluxe edition is a copy of the game, a bunch of pre-order bonuses, and 2-player downloadable content.
24 hours of early access to the game.
That's crazy.
That's horrible.
Then the Blades and Whip edition is a copy of the game, a copy of Darksiders War Mastered, a copy of Darksiders 2 Definitive.
Fucking Warframe.
Why did the THQ games do this? What was the Red Faction Guerrilla re-release? What was that called? You know?
I don't remember.
Remastered.
Oh, that's good.
It's not good.
That's good.
Pun it's it. Good.
2-pay downloadable contents. $400, you said?
There's a $400 version. The Destructoid had an article about
it. Oh, well, like, you scroll down on this page for a second. I want to show you something. So you see with the Warframe logo?
Yeah.
On this ad?
Yeah.
The Warframe logo's always been that Lotus.
Yeah.
The symbol for the new quest is that inverted but jacked up. For the new war.
So it means a big deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of a big deal.
Cool. What was that last
cool little UI
called?
Thing.
What was that last version with the other two games called?
Well, Chain and Whip.
Chain and Whip.
So apparently there's an Apocalypse Edition that has $400.
Apocalypse Edition is what it's
Apocalypse.
Called? Apocalypse. Okay.
If you don't feel like this would be cheaper still, but just what's in the Apocalypse Edition?
Oh, here we go. Found it.
He found it.
Darksiders 3 Apocalypse Edition.
Of all three guys.
Premium box, wall scroll, fabric print, four figures of Fury, Vulgrim, War, and Death.
Vulgrim? Why Vulgrim?
Who the fuck is... Because they haven't designed the fourth one
Vulgrim
yet.
Vulgrim is Mark Hamill's character from the first game, the one that always hung around war. Is like, hey, you gotta
hey,
do
I'm
this.
Your evil helper.
A heavyweight amulet, an original steelbook, art book, soundtrack, Darksiders 3, and exclusive armor deals.
Now, I like Darksiders. I think we're all like, yeah, Darksiders is fine. Does anyone like Darksiders $400 much?
No.
I would need to play one of the games to
you
make
would.
That decision.
That means, yes, he does care that much.
The statues aren't
it.
Even that great. Look at that amazing pose by Death.
Yeah, it's kind of...
I'm standing here with my scythes. Oh, man. That's...
There's a better statue of him that got released with the game proper.
Don't sell that.
Let me find that.
Oh, man. You should have a cool Statue of Death versus Dante's Inferno and have the two scythe boys just scything
it
up.
But Dante has a slightly bigger scythe.
Does. And plus, Death can get other weapons that aren't scythes.
And then behind them, Death Scythe is just hanging out.
Going, I don't know about that, Troa.
Scythe eye?
Aye.
Moving on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I think it's too late for me and Darksiders. I really think.
No, man, it's never too late.
It's too late for you for Arkham games too. Apparently,
no, but I actually might like. Unlike, but the difference is Arkham games are like, yeah. Even when I was watching people testing and stuff, I was like, no, it's Batman. I'll play it. Fucking, I can get into that.
I'll play. 15 years late,
I don't have like an interest in what in Darksiders.
Well, Darksiders 2 has. Phenomenal combat.
Yeah, yes, that's my biggest sell.
Darksiders 1 does not have
your pitches combat. Over the years have been the biggest convincers. Because there isn't a natural draw.
Yeah, you know what's better than that Death Statue? The one where he's on his horse.
Oh, that's
mid-stride.
Way better.
That's a cool. That's a cool horse that looks dead.
Yeah,
and evil.
I'd probably dig it as soon as I just gave it a shot. I'm sure.
The definitive
you would like to a lot better.
Definitive edition I bought and played a lot more than the original, and I enjoyed it, but it does get very grindy because that game is all about loot, whereas the first one is not.
It sure ain't. It's a Zelda. It's a Zelda game, that first one.
Yeah, and then the second one is not.
A million other things to you know.
Million other things you'd rather fucking do.
Bum, 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 bum. Hey, you know what I can do with more of? Like,
what's that?
Darksiders can do its thing. Yeah. Give me more fucking Ninja Warriors, baby. Taito is resurrecting Ninja Warriors for the Switch. It has more classic IP.
I called this often because I don't, but I was like, I sure hope it's Ninja Warriors.
You did say this.
God damn, I love me some Ninja Warriors. That. Bring it the fuck back.
So this is the one I sent you. Scroll down a bit. It shows one blurry screenshot from Famitsu, which I really like because it seems like they're doing some shit with it.
So the latest issue of Famitsu reveals Ninja Warriors again. I love Ninja Warriors again, dude. I love it. A tentative title at this point? No, yeah, it's not!
It's not what it was called. Look, it could be called Ninja Warriors again in Japan, but it can't be called in North America.
Don't lie to me, article. That's the name. It's in development for the Switch and is expected to launch next year. Screenshots of the magazine show the 2D title is keeping with the previous entries in the series.
So look at this. They expanded the play field so it's a lot bigger.
No, it's – but in Japan, I saw the original Ninja Warriors cab in an arcade.
I know.
And it was on the same screen setup as Darius.
It was on a three-screen setup. Yeah. But Ninja Warriors, the game this is...
The Super Nintendo...
Was not.
The Super Nintendo version of the game...
So they're mixing both together.
Because, yeah. That's what it is. The Super Nintendo version of the game was, in fact, Part 2. Which was the console small screen thing.
But it never came out in Super Nintendo.
But there was
Nintendo
no way for this original game that's multi-screen
like
to be...
Final Fantasy problem.
What console would you port that to? Yeah. Like, who's fucking plugging in three monitors to play Ninja Warriors?
Nobody.
I am.
Oh, yeah, Wooly's a rare person.
But this is because the game is a one-plane beat-em-up that's only one player, and it's all balanced around it. Like, guys only take one or two hits to go down.
Yeah.
It's all balanced around it.
And you can fucking jump off of heads if you balance it proper, if you aim it properly.
So I'm really, really excited to see, like, what else, because they added so much to Wild Guns, and they confirmed this is the exact same team that went to Wild Guns Reloaded.
And so Taito now, it's the question is, what else are they going to dig up? Rainbow Islands, Puzzle Bobble? Bubble Bobble.
Rastan.
Space Invaders.
I'll be real. I could honestly go for another Space Invaders Extreme.
Bubble Bobble.
You should play the arcade.
Bubble Bobble.
It's like the most incredible arcade version of Space Invaders you could ever. It's made by Raw Thrills.
Bubble fucking Bobble was my first video game addiction. That's
really?
The first game I was like super into. Mm-hmm. To the point, and we didn't have a copy of it. And my stupid fucking cousin did. And they would torture me. So, because I wanted to do when I went to their house was borrow fucking Bubble Bobble. And it would be like, oh, you want Bubble Bobble? You want Bubble Bobble? Run to the corner store, get us all freezies, and run back. And if you do it fast enough, I'll lend you Bubble Bobble. And like,
that's
I was.
And there, you had
do.
No legal recourse.
There was
here.
Nothing to do except do it.
Now, Wooly, I should mention, you are a big and tall person. Were you not a big and tall child?
Compared to the rest of my family that is taller,
okay.
I am like the shortest.
The runt of the litter.
Me and Wooly have that in common. Think about that
shit. Yeah, no. Doesn't work that way.
But I'm actually the tallest in my family. It's fucked up.
And fuck, dude. Like, they would make me just do stupid shit.
But you'd have to do it because I would do the
fucking chores. I'd run around like an idiot.
That's awful.
To get fucking Bubble Bobble because I love that game so much. And they knew, and they would always like, anyway, they'd always fucking be stingy with it.
You should have just stolen it.
Yeah, but thou shalt not steal.
Yeah, it's true.
Thou shalt not trick your relatives into doing a bunch of bullshit.
For Bubble Bobble.
No. That's in there. I saw it once.
It was on the
third tablet.
It was on the third tablet that broke. Yeah. 15, crack. 10 commandments. Anyway.
No, I really hope they add like a two-player mode, like a separate mode, like because it would throw off the balance of the main game.
It's never been a two-player game.
No, it's not. But I'm like a bonus mode, like a horror mode almost.
But the fact that it's one plane means that the camera with two players would get weird.
Didn't the original cabinet have two players, though?
No, one.
Okay.
You only had Kunoichi in it, and then in Ninja Warriors again, you got Kunoichi, Kamaitachi, and of course.
No, in the original you had Kunoichi, and then you just had a blue ninja named Ninja.
Well, Ninja was the one.
I know.
Are you actually fucking serious?
No, what I mean, their names were Kunoichi and
Kunoichi is the red ninja up top here. Kamaitachi is the robot here.
Okay.
And this big blue robot is Ninja.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So that's what's up. I can't wait.
You will wait. There's a lot of action games you have to wait for, so start waiting now.
Like that guy is what I mean.
Oh yeah, okay.
There is just the blue guy,
blue blonde ninja.
Oh, I just have a quick 2-sentence news thing to say. Is the Monster Hunter thing on there? No.
No, but yeah, we can. Hey, sure.
Nothing to say other than hey, everybody, Monster Hunter World's coming out on the PC on August 9th. Which is many, many months faster than it was expected.
Yeah.
So that's nice. The only really...
I don't think there was anything besides just that.
Oh, they put out the specs and stuff like that.
Sure.
The weirdest thing about it is that it's competing with the Switch version of Monster Hunter Generations that's coming out like 2 weeks apart. That's really bizarre. But whatever. Hey, it's coming out in summer. Yeah.
What the most bizarre fucking thing, if you want to get into that... is whatever or whoever's running the Def Jam Twitter.
Yeah. No, that's wild.
Because I don't... like.
There's no reason to do this unless there were not some plans.
But I don't think there's anything. I think Def Jam just trying to do their little test the waters thing.
That's fine.
Despite
the Def Jam test.
And also, we know that Def Jam doesn't understand why those games were successful. We know
but I do
that
like
they have
that
no
they
idea.
Have Vendetta up there and not Icon or some
yeah,
shit.
Well,
that means they do know something.
Because that means that years later, someone came to them and yelled loud enough to be like, hey, idiots, it had nothing to do with rappers and it had nothing to do with like the fact that this was an EA game or whatever.
Or music.
This was everything.
It had nothing to do with music, guys.
It had everything to do with the fact that it was the Aki engine, and they just didn't believe in that, and that's why they made Icon.
I'd say it was like 90%, and then 10% was like, rap was was super popular, and they had a couple of guys on the cover that helped.
But if they didn't make Def Jam, if they made it an original fighting game, we would have been clamoring for that game to come out.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't have been able to have the fucking Crow as Snoop Dogg.
Evolution of the Aki engine.
I'm working on a video right now where it was going to be WCW Mayhem 2, but... WCW closed down, and it was supposed to be with EA. It was supposed to be the Aki engine. Then they went, fucking, we have nothing to base this on, and they settled on Def Jam, I guess.
Yeah, but my point is that engine is the star here, and that engine is the reason why anyone gives a fuck. So Def Jam coming out with Icon later, and EA going, here, you can have the Fight Night engine, just shows you a massive misunderstanding.
It was very sad.
Whether you know what I mean? They didn't get why their shit was fire. They had no idea why people loved it.
Or they thought it was just like, oh, it's because of the hip-hop.
It's because of the, yeah, yeah. You know, it's like other other
when we popped that in like a year ago just to like for shits and giggles, and I was like, and I never played up to that point, and I was like, I just seen screenshots and I read reviews and I was so disappointed back then, and when I actually play, I'm like, this might be one of the biggest downturns of quality I've ever seen.
There's something about that.
You hadn't played Icon?
Not when it was new. No.
I played that demo when it came out. My heart sank, and that came from somebody who never played the original.
I played the demo, and then I remember the YouTube era of like when Mugen was first getting popular on YouTube. How Icon videos of like new rappers were being edited in because there's a custom character mode, and like that was a big deal. Is watching like when fucking Soulja Boy came out, and they're like, "Yo, I made Soulja Boy. We can have Soulja Boy versus Chief Keef." And that's all the fuck it was. But I there's something that really pisses me off about these situations where someone is associated in a collaboration that way overplays their hand and doesn't understand what they're worth in the grand scheme.
But I can see this being as a thing, like we don't know the exact setup. Maybe they're doing this to maybe have a signal point for EA to go, oh, look, they got 100,000 retweets. That's cool. Like, you don't know exactly. It might be a stupid thing like you're saying.
No. I'm not even on the story. I'm just on, like, the past of, like, of this situation reminding me of Halle Berry being Give Me More Lines of Storm. Yeah. And everyone's like, no one gives a fuck, Halle Berry. She's like, no, but I'm important. And I'm me.
I'm the hottest.
I deserve more. Yeah, and it's like, but you're making it worse, Halle Berry. And you're like, no, but I'm me, though. Feeling really annoys me. Because, like...
Wooly, not everyone can be as classy as Dante from the Devil May Cry series.
It just annoys me because in this case, like, why would anyone... Like, not why would, but, like, the fact that those fun wrestling games were fun wrestling games, I'm sure, is also lost on WCW and on WWE, you know? Yeah. And it's like, you fucking idiots, you don't understand that Aki Asmic Ace, the god, is gifting you with an amazing game that's super fun. You have the privilege of putting your characters into it.
You know, it really
and
sucks.
Anyone that touches this, any IP that is lucky enough to touch this engine will be a huge hit. You know, but then they walk away thinking that they're hot shit.
The engine nowadays is exactly what a lot of publishers strive for, where it's very easy to get into so people can pick up and play. But it's also has a lot to master. Therefore, people will continue to play it. And it seems like such an easy sell, but it's like it's just not happening for whatever reason.
I mean, business reasons will make them go, oh, that sold well. Let's make more of that with the same people, and then that'll get the result. But deep, deep down, there's a Paul marketing that in every group, in every company here, that actually just thinks that no, it's about the brand, and they don't get that the developers'
scroll
work
down a bit.
Is what's making
I don't
this
know
work.
If you know this, Wooly, but people love brands.
Sure they do.
They love their brands so much, they'll buy anything with a brand on it.
But this is the hardest example of it could have been Blockman. It could have been Dural.
Yeah. No, it could have been fighting Polygon Man.
I don't know about Dural, but...
But that is why people went to this.
This could have been a Rocky Horror Picture Show wrestling game.
Holy shit, I'd play that.
Yeah, you know what? That's
scroll
actually
down, scroll
way
on,
cooler.
Scroll on, scroll on, scroll on, scroll on.
Fucking Meatloaf on his motorcycle? Yeah.
Look,
so
you know what makes no sense about this article? You own D-Mob.
So,
you don't have to ask anyone for the permission of
the
story, you own.
So the story, because this is all precursor, is that the Def Jam Twitter just put out a tweet going, hypothetically, who would you like to see on the cover if this game made a comeback? And they took the Def Jam Vendetta original box and they put a question mark where D-Mob was.
It's not like the original cover had Method Man or DMX.
Yeah.
So the answer to that question is D-Mob.
Yeah, yeah.
That's who I would like to see.
Whose voice actor is very in vogue right now.
I really do think, though, like, let me just do a little fucking bullshit investigations here. But this thing got, like, close to 6,000 likes. And they're tweeting out regular shit on the random that has no interaction whatsoever.
Yeah,
right?
They're not following it up at
no
all.
No one really cares that much in terms of, like, the Def Jam Recordings official Twitter. It's not fucking popping off. You know what I mean? So just at a glance.
Maybe it will now that we mention it on our podcast.
Oh, yeah. They'll listen to us and be like, oh, yeah,
we're going to put D-Mob. But the average level of interaction is really low. So it feels like at a glance, when they make a tweet like that and it goes off and you see thousands of fucking interactions with it, it's because they're like, it's a test of waters. Are people still interested in this?
What's we need to see what the impressions data will get.
We want to know if it's worth going down this road again. But like, do they even have the access? Is this a possibility? Or is it just favorite. Ed Boon going, I want to make a versus Street Fighter game?
Or I'm going to make a horror fighting game and then not do anything.
Ed Boon does a lot.
You know what's a really great term I just heard today? It's like, maybe this is a pulse point.
Ugh.
Pulse point?
A pulse point.
You want to fucking define what that means?
Oh, I know what it means.
Where your game or your marketing leading up to a game is a straight line. And nothing's happening during all these things, but every so often there's a point, a pulse point to let you know this is still alive. This has been hanging around forever. Why are you looking at it? I assumed it was yours.
It is mine. There's a little. I just saw this nub and I was wondering where it came from. Oh, this came from the chair. Never mind. All right,
you
go
fool.
On. Go ahead.
Good job.
Yeah, that's pulse point.
Okay. That is
every so often you feel the pulse of the game being alive.
So it's like when you look up on Google and they're like, when did this word start getting used?
Yeah.
And it says like, oh, in 1997.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
When 1997 invented this new devious sexual act, this word became popular.
Oh, here's the best example. Why so much noise made of Metal Wolf now?
Of course.
That's a pulse point.
Of course.
And that was the start of it.
Yeah.
It sure was.
So I feel like, and the fact that they edited a PS4 thing picture onto the top
of
this.
I didn't even notice.
They edited a PS4 logo up above it just to be like, oh, huh, current?
I feel like
this is so far from actually existing.
EA put out an HD version of Burnout Paradise. Then did they do one Revenge? I don't remember. Anyway, they put out a phone for Burnout Paradise, and all that was an HD upscale. I don't even know if it had online play.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
All this needs, seriously, it has no frame rate issues, bump up the resolution, online play. That's a good deal. I don't care how much you charge
for
that.
They would likely have to make a new game because a bunch of those people either are out of the business. Or
they don't even work for fucking Def Jam
or
no
they
more.
Don't, yeah. They're not under that.
DMX is in prison.
No, dude.
Oh, man. Get DMX, break out of prison. He's Cody.
I mean, look, you'd basically have to grab it. But that's the other thing, too. Like, it's not anyone who's ever been on a part of Def Jam.
Because
tons of people have left.
Yeah. But have whoever you need and then just make a bunch of randos like you already had in the game. Then, Manny and
shit.
And
then DMX during a super, a bunch of dogs come and attack you.
And he's the mayor of New York now.
And he barks at you.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber is on Def Jam. Fucking get Justin Bieber in.
Yes.
Dude. That'd be awesome!
There you go.
I'm not joking!
Whoever's legally on the Def Jam Recordings label can be in the game. And if you don't have enough spots to fill up the rest of the character slots, just make randos. It's fine. Again, it's not... We don't care
make
about the
character
characters.
A rapping robot from the future.
Yeah.
Were Beastie Boys on Def Jam?
No.
Damn it. Dig that guy up.
Q-Tip was, was Nas. And, oh, fuck, Nas has a new great album. You can get some people. Kanye's Def Jam.
I want the fucking weird picks.
Everyone wants to beat him up now.
But everyone's got their own. Whatchamacallit? Like labels too that they make for themselves.
I don't care.
I'm sad that Fred Durst isn't on it.
Tony Braxton's on the list.
Throw Tony Braxton. Is Brandy and Monica on Def Jam?
What would Def Jam versus include? Who would they versus?
What do you mean, like against another group?
Another label. Like a Marvel versus
Death Row,
but the problem is every other it'd have to be a huge stable because if any other stable you picked, Wu-Tang is the
ICP.
Obvious. But like, there's like two of them.
I don't care. Have you seen that shit this weekend?
Shaggy 2 Ruff.
What?
Oh man, have you guys seen fucking Violent J's new show?
Show? No.
Yeah, he put up a fucking show on Facebook called...
What did ICP do this
What's
week?
It called? Fucking Get Snaked or some shit?
Get Snaked?
So what it is...
Is this Gathering of the Juggalos news?
No. No, it is not.
Go.
Violent J bought a fursuit for his daughter, and it was garbage. And it was so garbage that him and his daughter in her new expensive fursuit made like a 10-minute video saying, don't get snaked by this shitty company, and talking about how garbage the other suit was and how broke Violent J was because he's a terrible rapper. with lines such as, "My mom says dad hasn't been rich since the 90s, and he'd be richer now if he could rap well."
Okay.
It's the greatest video of all time.
So her daughter's a furry?
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes complete
sense. She's a furry juggalo, and he's a juggalo furry.
Okay.
It's the best. Violent J is the coolest
hear
dad.
Anything again about Shaggy J or whatever?
I will say that one of the funny things that happens is if you follow Sonic Fox on Twitter, you never know when it'll happen, but
you might
get blown up by his likes.
Yeah.
And Ultra David was just like, you know, like I've managed to avoid it for this long, but this weekend it hit me, and then someone was just like, yeah, man, everyone gets opened up. Anyway,
Doggy too dope.
This is
that's good.
I feel like this is non like real. Like I feel like this is not actually
it's
a thing.
It's realer than it's ever been, though.
It is realer than it's ever
because
been.
Because it's never been real.
But I think they're overplaying their hand in terms of how much
you
influence
might be
they
right,
would have.
But I'm trying to.
They've also cropped all logos out of this because we don't even know. Like, who would they talk to? Are they still in talks with EA? Why would they be?
I don't know.
You know? Like, I don't think they have the sway they used to. I don't think they have the ability to
please,
get make this happen.
Everyone bother Def Jam.
Could you imagine?
I bet you that if EA, who would have the fucking rights here, would want to continue this or do anything like this or whatever, they would just go to the artists and make their own like individual hip hop collaboration thing so that they weren't limited to Def Jam, so that they could get any other famous rappers.
Yeah,
and,
but
and
it's like what you're saying is like maybe it was just the Def Jam label, just the name is maybe what did it. We don't know.
No, but. But I just mean to say that, like, it would almost be smarter to not do Def Jam because you could then go outside of Def Jam to
Def Jam versus the Imperfects.
I have a question for you guys.
What I'm saying is Super Robot Wars.
Who makes those WWE games that are bad?
2K.
2K? I have a nightmare for you guys. Are you ready for the nightmare? Def Jam goes, okay, people like those old games. Maybe it was because of the gameplay. Well, instead of going at EA, who makes wrestling games now? We should go and talk to UK and get a wrestling engine because that's what people liked. And then fucking Ukes makes this.
Yeah.
And then we all have to go fucking drink ourselves to death.
Well, that's how you get MK versus DC. Is how do we do the exact opposite of the thing over there in every possible way?
It should have the Imperfects.
Yeah, fuck it.
So yeah.
They own them.
It's not a thing, and even if it were a thing, the way to make money off of this is not going about it this way. It's to go and talk to the individual artists that are not even a part of Def Jam and then get those people associated.
But then that costs money.
Of course it does, but then it makes money, right?
The world costs money, man. Gotta spend money to make money or some shit.
Fuck it. Take out Def Jam, call it Vendetta, just have a bunch of made-up jobbers.
Infinitely
Yeah, have
better.
A guy that kind of looks like Snoop Dogg, Raven.
Yeah, Crow. His name is Crow.
Yeah, and call him Raven instead of...
But you don't need to.
Yeah.
You can just call him Crow and have him look slightly like Snoop Dogg.
You know, just get a...
Just call it DJ Vendetta.
And instead of Method Man, it's How Do You Do It Guy.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Just all the, you know...
Because, you know, you could absolutely
Blue
just...
Blue Man.
Look, you know why Flex isn't called Flex, why it's called Fighting EX Layer?
Why? Yeah.
Because the Fighting Layer is still owned by as Namco, I think.
Oh, that was
so they had to put EX in between the words.
Jesus.
Yeah. So straight up, just call it Vendetta or DJ Vendetta.
DJ Vendetta is a pretty solid DJ name in general. Have a Vendetta against that party.
Have a guy named BMX, and he's the bike master.
Yeah,
scream,
scream.
And he makes little ring noises.
Yeah, instead of barking.
Sure. Or just create a new main character named Jeff Dam. Jeff Dam's Vendetta.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
Oh, that's the best one.
Done and done. Oh, fuck.
My BMX is going to give it to you.
Legally distinct.
Which is the best type
of
distinct.
I love that kind of distinction.
So, that non-fucking news aside.
Yeah.
We talked about a whole bunch, though.
Yeah, because those games are great. That's the way news gets talked about on this show isn't whether or not it's newsworthy. It's whether or not we like the things in the news.
Yeah, in the article.
Netflix is fucking bringing back Ultraman.
What? And Agretzko. Yeah.
Yeah, more Agretzko. That's cool. I started that. I like that. That's good.
There's a kill you inside.
There's, but that's there's Ultraman.
Something announced that's Kengan Ashura is also a Netflix original that's coming. And that's cool.
More Castlevania.
With Gladiators. More Castlevania is on its way.
Eight
but
episodes.
Ultraman, Netflix original.
That's a really cool looking Ultraman.
That's a fucking Ultraman right so, there it is.
So this is just an anime that's like in Japan, and they're just getting the rights to it, I believe, to premiere it on Netflix, I think.
And
because I've seen this design before, like a year ago, and I got really hyped back then.
Is this the same one that had a little short teaser that had like these really cool manga panels for it?
I don't remember.
There was a really, really fucking nicely animated one, and I saw it like a year ago as well. And I want to say it was not the same design, but maybe it was. It looked like there was almost like manga panels. Either way, this looks cooler fucking than anything.
And all of like, you know, recently a lot of their Netflix's big acquires of their anime has been like, anime is just a tab on Netflix now.
Because
they got a lot of shit. It really started with Knights of Cydonia, it seems.
Yeah, well, I mean, because it's not... Like, Crunchyroll is all fucking anime, but, yeah. Like, people are just, like, casually browsing past it and watching shit. I mean, it's...
Like, then there's the Godzilla anime movies. Oh, that one comes out on Wednesday,
soon
too.
We'll have old people watching anime.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, this is the one based on a manga. Yes. Okay. Because there was the 2019 PV that did come out.
And Agretzko has, like, multiple... seasons or whatever in Japan. It's just like that was just the first localized bunch of episodes, I think.
It stopped, right?
Agretzko? Yeah. You can watch them both.
Well, it's first season's done and up, right? So,
but, I mean, its dub is pretty solid.
Yeah. The it's from the new manga. Man, what a fucking strong design.
Ultraman's a cool guy.
What a fucking strong design.
Where's Ultraman fit on the timeline of these types of heroes?
First.
Is he number one?
He's going way back.
Does he predate Spider-Man?
Like, look at this fucking design, my dudes.
Yeah.
Just type, if you do a search for Ultraman new manga and just check out
cool
what
Ultramans.
They're doing with it. It is so fucking strong. You got yourself a Warframe right there.
He doesn't have an unexplained biological component. To the design.
Yeah, like a big like vein.
1966 was the first episode of Ultraman. So yeah. I mean,
wait, is he wearing a cloak in that one?
Yeah, why wouldn't he?
What is he wearing? Is he wearing
dude, that's just a new
too cool.
No, I can't find it now, but there was a teaser video showing off like someone did a cinematic graphic novel with panels of the manga and like just cutting to some of these design shots and whatnot, and it's fucking cool. Like, I doubt I'm going to find it on a whim, but man,
he's
looks
rad. He's got a sword in some pictures.
So, like, yo, they're doing the right thing. Netflix knows.
Nah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Netflix knows what they're doing.
More about the Netflix thing.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it's just a little trailer.
All right.
Just looking at the picture in slow motion.
I need another fucking chair so bad. This thing's crawling up my ass.
Okay. Got to get it out of there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's squeaking as it gets in there. Should I get a racing chair?
It hurts. Can't get it out of there.
For racing around at the speed of sound.
I've been kind of ignoring it, but you know, Soul Calibur has been announcing its characters and
fucking Talim.
Talim's back, and you know what? Talim is very popular, so it makes sense that she's back.
Talim's great.
So,
but
she's not a Soul Calibur 1 character.
It's just kind of just limp. Like the last couple of trailers.
But it's all just hey, look, it's the old thing. You know, yeah. There's been no like new announced characters since Geralt.
Since Edge Man,
kind of.
Well, Geralt and Groh.
Geralt, yeah, counts. I forgot. Yes.
Geralt.
Excuse me. I've never heard it said in an official capacity.
Really?
So I've
never.
Besides you saying it or
I'm official.
Saying it. Yeah.
But he's just the Witcher.
I don't know.
You could call him Witchy Boy.
I can get out of the problem.
That's one Witchy Boy.
The Witcher. Geralt?
Yeah, Geralt.
Geralt, okay. Yeah. I'll try to remember that.
It's one of those things that makes my eye twitch, like when people call Lara Croft Laura.
Laura, yeah.
And it, I
okay, but
that
if
one's outrageous.
But if someone that never played the game said it, I'd be like, yeah, well, fair enough.
Right? Well, with Lara Croft, it's kind of bizarre because the character's like 30 years old.
What's the excuse for Mario?
20 years old.
Because that's wrong. And it makes everyone's eye twitch.
So
you see how that works then, right?
I do see how it works.
That's all I ask then.
Your request has been noted.
Congrats.
Okay.
Whoa! What? Did we just win an iPhone?
We won an iPhone.
This has happened more and more recently.
Yeah, we're going to have to do something about that.
Poison.
Sorry?
Browser poison.
Oh, okay. I thought you had poison on the docket. I'm like, fantastic. Always down.
But alongside that stuff came the really, really rad Arby's.
What is Arby's?
Arby's
now?
Arby's Twitter.
I don't understand.
Has achieved its peak, and there's no going down from here. This is the top. It has a 2-scale full nightmare from Soul Calibur, fucking Arby's box statue.
It's absurd.
And this was
it's really
Anime
nice.
Expo.
Sword hilt is out of control.
So here's the thing, right? Clearly, Arby's got this whole game on lock going because they hired a huge fucking weeb to run their Twitter.
That's correct.
Sonic did the same thing, and Wendy's as well, right? Anytime you're getting like some like hip youth that understands social media to run your Twitter, you're gonna get this stuff. But here, Arby's doesn't just have that.
Go to the next level
because they've got some kind of fucking box art god that knows how to just sculpt out shit out of nothing, out of ketchup packets. And
how'd he make the eye? What is that?
It's just the yellow parts of the set of the box.
That's crazy.
The belt. Yeah, look.
And they have all the burger boxes.
On top of the burger boxes.
And then on the burger boxes, you can draw your anime stuff. And you can
I get an Arby's sponsorship in Soul Calibur? Get this as a costume?
I would love this as a costume, actually. Unironically. Like, full-on Arby's logo on the character select screen.
Hey,
fuck it.
I was told...
All the way in.
I was told why Arby's is named Arby's by somebody, and I don't know if they're making fun of me.
What is it?
Is that RB stands for roast beefs, because that's what they sell.
I believe that.
Well, their logo right now is We Have the Meats.
Yeah.
So
the slogan.
Slogan, yeah, sorry.
I don't know if they're making fun of me.
If it's actually because it's of Arby's. Yeah, I believe that. That makes sense.
So do you prefer things like this? And like, let's say this post, this nightmare thing is a success because it's cool, right? But when other companies do this type of stuff, like got to reach out to the kids and they do cringe things, you just, oh,
I prefer
God.
That. I prefer the
do
cringe.
Do you prefer that to when companies are just like
when they
fucking
nail it?
Millennials and fuck them and we don't care?
No,
and like,
I love that too.
I love all of it. I love, like Dave Lang said, companies dunking on each other is my shit.
Yeah.
I like all of it, but I want this new world of huge-ass weebs becoming CEOs.
Okay.
My favorite is...
I prefer that,
My
too.
Favorite is, like, luxury companies for things that don't matter. Going, millennials are buying less diamonds. What's wrong with
sure.
them?
Sure. That's just, like,
they're fucking broke,
yeah,
assholes!
Yeah. Yeah, or old family style restaurants are dying off, like
because millennials like to eat at home.
No Applebee's, one's going to Applebee's and Eastside Mario's.
But that's the thing, like Arby's, I just put together in that group of like Applebee's. But I guess they're like, fuck it, no, let's embrace the hentai.
I mean, for me, it goes into the category of shit that doesn't matter because we don't have them, so I don't care.
I've never been to an Arby's in my life.
Yeah, so
man, I'm so hungry.
Even
I could eat at Arby's. Oh, well, she is hungry.
The most I know about Arby's prior to their Twitter going full weeb is Jon Stewart making fun of them on The Daily Show all the time. Mm. Right? Like near vomiting and all that. So it's like, I have no horse in this race, but cool weeb shit.
That's kind of your horse.
Is this dope. So yeah, wow at this.
I guess.
Keep being funny, American food brand.
That we don't care about or have any interest in.
That's all Arby's is to me.
These pictures.
Weeb shit.
Literally, yeah. 100%.
But I'm not going to lie. If I'm at a convention and I see an Arby's nearby, I'm like, maybe I'll go. I don't know. I feel like I'm welcome there.
Well, now that when I hear these names, when I hear these names of places that like people always talk about, I'm like, well, I got to find out what the big deal is.
Is Arby's that place with that nefarious sounding horsey sauce?
I don't know.
Horsey sauce?
Horsey sauce is a thing. I heard it one time.
Is that like horseradish sauce?
Apparently, it's not.
Is it Worcestershire sauce? Or
I don't know.
Okay, well, you need to give us more information.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what horsey sauce is.
I'm going to look up horsey sauce.
Yes, everyone says yes, but I don't know what.
Hopefully, I don't get creepy porn.
Why is it called horsey sauce?
Arby's horsey sauce secret recipe. It is thin.
Like, I don't understand.
It's vinegar, sugar, salt, mayonnaise, and tablespoons of horseradish.
Mayo-based. Oh, it's horseradish sauce. Yeah, it's horseradish mayo. Fine.
It's just their own type.
Okay, so they just cut out the word radish. Whatever. That's fine.
I don't know. The word horsey sauce sounds nefarious.
Horseradish sauce is pretty strong, but it's pretty good, so I get it. You know?
It's like that weird fucking photo that was going around on the weekend of that girl getting her ass licked by that horse going, city folk just don't understand.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, you didn't
about?
See that? It's some fucking ad with the girl in jeans getting her butt licked by a horse.
Okay, that sounded way weirder until you specified that.
Yeah, that she's
it
wearing
It still
clothes.
Sounds weird.
No, this is a real photo of a real ad, and it was blowing up because people were like, what is that?
Dude, context.
I will show this to you. I'll find it in my shitpost diary.
Yeah, you do that. In the meantime, I'll talk about Card Saga Wars.
Shit, yeah, man.
Card Saga Wars.
So, Danny
Oliver?
Oliver? I want to say Olivier.
Are you okay?
For whatever reason.
Yeah. We know a couple of those.
Yeah. He made a cool avatar for me like a year or two ago. And I was like, man, this guy's a really good sprite artist. Then all of a sudden, he's like, I made the hypest game that shits all over Namco cross Capcom cross whatever.
So this has been in the works for years, apparently. Card Saga Wars. And it's a Mugen game.
Essentially.
And the sprite fucking quality is impeccable.
Out of this world.
It's impeccable. It's like I was going to say on par with Namco X Capcom, but it's better. It's better than that. And he's just putting everybody in it.
Yeah, like Master Chief is in there.
Everyone. And it came out finally, I think, last week. Because it's been in the works for a very long time.
Yeah, now it's got like a bunch of characters, and they're like, well, we're going to leave it like this for now, and then maybe we'll come back and do some more stuff. We're not sure.
So you got Samus and Master Chief and Cloud and Cosmos.
Like, we should take a look at this and get it running.
I'm absolutely. It's 100%. Yeah, okay. For sure. And Chrono
it's
has just been
nice
added.
Stage, too.
And this is, the Zombor fight on the bridge.
Yeah.
Right? No, and here's the thing too, is that I've seen countless amounts of characters like this that are just the Chrono Trigger sprites blown up. But the fact that this is like original new sprites that this guy is making, and they're like really nicely animated as well, is like the most respect. So yeah, it's a Mugen thing, but we're gonna and like the stages are all like pixel art stages of the games they're coming from.
Yeah, that's just like the Halo stage.
All right, get your horse porn out of here.
That is not horse porn. That's some weird ad for farmersonly.com.
Ivy's in it. Link's in it. It's like this is one of those things where, I wouldn't bat an eye twice if it were just another one of these mini cute Mugen games. But the quality of the original art in this is absolutely noteworthy.
It also helps that it's picking solid characters, like some are out of the left field. It's like, well, Ivy, I guess.
But I really mean it when I say there's a dime a dozen popular character crossover Mugen fighting games like that just pick the all stars. Like, it's not a thing, you know? But this fucking sprite quality is absolutely a thing, and the backgrounds and all of it. So, yeah, man. This is worth your attention. It's called Card Saga Wars, and I think Max took a look at it. Not too long ago, actually.
I'm not sure. Maybe. Yeah.
That's Valkyrie Profile right there, right? Yeah. That's, what's her name?
Yeah. It's the character of Valkyrie Profile. Valkyrie.
It shall be engraved upon your soul. Nibelung, Valesti. All that shit.
Man, I don't know nothing.
Oh, dude. That game's got some cool.
All I know
cool,
is the city folks just don't get it.
It's got some cool barks. But yeah, shout outs to Danny Oliver. Good shit.
Olivier. Yeah. I have no explanation.
I mean, it's D-A-N-I as opposed to N-N-Y, right?
Yeah, maybe so. That's fucking me up.
Yeah, man. Ba-bam.
Ba-bam.
Ba-bang.
Ba-bang.
And last but not least.
Definitely not least. Unless it is. Sometimes it is.
This is cool. We'll see where this goes. I'm cautiously not even
cautious.
I'm cautiously cautious.
Oh shit, excuse me.
But hey, Legendary decides that Gundam time is now.
What, which Gundam? There are like 3,500 Gundam.
Guess just, what? Gundam.
It just is generalized. We're just announcing
Joe Blow,
that we're making a Gundam.
Gundam movie is happening. Live action Gundam movie in the works from Legendary Pictures.
Oh, that.
This film site has grabbed a picture of Gundam Wing because that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, when you put Gundam into Google.
But, I mean.
Boy, this
yeah.
could be very poor or decent.
Yeah. So, for those that don't remember, Legendary puts out like the Pacific Rim and the King Kong stuff, and I mean they did the Dark Knight trilogy. They're all over the.
I
shop.
Would very much like this to not be in Universal Century. Be its own thing, please.
Iron Blooded Orphans, please.
You know, I mean, I don't care. Like whatever. Like it can be either or. There's a lot of people that are really sick of seeing 1 year war stories because like there's so many side stories of it.
Sure.
But I wouldn't be surprised if this just was just like, no, we're doing our own thing. We're not attached to anything in the past and fuck you. Maybe they'll just do 79. Maybe they don't. Who knows? The quote says, the original Gundam series is set in the Universal Century, an era in which the humanity's growing population has led people to emigrate to space colonies. Eventually, the people living in
traitors.
The colonies seek autonomy and launch a war of independence against the people living on Earth.
Because they're bastards.
Through the tragedies and discord arising from this human conflict, not only the maturation of the main character, but also the intentions of the enemies and the surrounding people are sensitively depicted. The battles and the story in which characters pilot robots known as mobile suits are wildly popular.
Yeah, this is basically telling you what Gundam is.
Now, the first thing I thought when I heard this news was that this is exactly Nintendo getting their taste off of Wreck-It Ralph and deciding to go further from there.
Yeah.
Or Sonic and such. I felt that Ready Player One gave Gundam its taste, right? Like, and they note, they mentioned at the bottom that like, oh, audiences recently got a look at it. And it's kind
of
like, yeah, that's,
did
it's the same little
that,
testing the waters feel.
Did either of you see it in theaters?
I didn't.
Cause out of the whole movie, easily the biggest pop was, oh shit, go wow.
It's a Gundam.
Yeah. Even I, despite all of my misgivings at the time, kind of marked out like, oh, I love Gundam.
So that's exactly it, right? I feel like you get that little, a Western movie decides to like, play with this a little bit or whatever. Audiences get a little. It's just like Def Jam. It's just like the other shit. It's like you get a little test, right?
Yeah.
You go, oh, people are a little bit hyped for this thing. Maybe they want to see a little more. Okay, you know, and then this news kind of rolls out. I don't know. I hope for good things.
I want a 1-to-1 recreation of the original with Amuro and Char, and I want them to be just as stupid and lame as they were in that show.
I thought Legendary Godzilla was a fun movie, and then Shin Godzilla came out, and fucking that was the end of that.
Mm.
Um,
they're gonna show the new Godzilla movie, which at San Diego Comic-Con, so they're gonna show something. I'm really looking forward to that because, you know, I think the second one, they're gearing it up to be way more monster fighting, way more silly, and like what you kind of expect.
You think he's going to do that flying drop kick?
Yes.
Thank you.
He's going to do the dance.
Yeah, man. This can
Oh, yeah. Oh, that is worse.
This can be a brand new thing, but I wouldn't be surprised if they just did their own 79.
Gundam Seed adaptation. I said it to hurt you.
Hey man, Thomas already did.
Imagine fucking
the fucking mom on Twitter with that. He did the Kira scream crying scene live action. That was great.
Get fucking hot kid or whatever the new. Get Tom Holland in fucking the fucking kid. Window and go.
He did it.
Oh, he did.
He did it. That's literally what the tweet is.
Yeah.
Oh, like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I invented the thing that already existed.
You invented a thing that
and now I look silly.
Mom on Twitter, Thomas Trongasm, fucking went and filmed himself in Kira cosplay doing the full.
Oh, no!
Doing the full bit, and it was amazing. And he's crying.
It's
he did it. So, yeah.
It's the worst. It's the worst ever.
I see a trailer here for Jinro the Wolf Brigade live action,
too.
And what
oh,
the
did
fuck,
you not, did
fuck?
Did you not see this shit?
I did not see this
hey,
shit.
Hey, guess what?
We're doing a live action Jinro.
Yeah, it looks dope.
Oh, shit. I missed this. Is this Korea? This is Korean.
Oh, shit. It's not Japanese.
This is definitely a... Is this a Korean movie?
Scroll down a bit. You can see the description.
Well, I mean, I know this sounds Korean, and that's Korean text, but is this just like...
This could be the dub. Yeah,
a movie starring Woo Sung Jung.
This is a Korean movie. That's so weird.
Huh, weird.
I guess they just got the license.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So there's a Korean live-action Jinro.
Wolf 2018. Brigade is a strong.
Just
name
put the
name.
Fucking helmet on in the trailer.
Yeah. Just do the Hellgast thing that they stole from you.
Boy, did they fucking steal that!
Everyone steals.
Don't put the helmet on. Then it's like when people are like, "Why is Venom in the Venom teaser?
Where's Metroid? And why can't Metroid crawl?
Why can't Jinro helmet?
Yeah." Oh, I bet the putting on the helmet's going to be the last thing that they do in this trailer. It's a suspicion.
This is an easy-ass movie to adapt because it's a very short story, and it
lends itself well to a movie.
It doesn't do anything that live-action can't do.
Oh, they put the helmet on, they shot the guy. I'm happy now. Everybody
it doesn't do anything live-action can't do. So, like, yeah, this makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
This looks fine.
That's a cool evil man with a gun.
That's the big red eye. Fuck. Yeah, dude.
There you go.
Oh, they know.
Oh, they know about the
They
helmet.
Know. It's the most iconic part of the
it's
fucking
It's so
thing.
Evil
Every
looking.
Game rips it off.
Soldiers with big red eyes. Like, what are you going to what?
Why would you make your soldiers look this evil?
I didn't know that. I didn't hear about this at all. And I guess perhaps because it's a Korean movie.
Yeah, maybe.
I didn't catch it, but that's cool.
Mm.
Okay. Shame that, like... Okay. That we're probably going to catch, like, maybe 5 years from now, you're going to be like, Jinro's getting adapted, and it's like, it already did. No, but it's getting adapted for us, though.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like, but that was fine. Oh, no, but we didn't. Okay.
That's like all those Russian Death Note movies they made.
Yeah.
They did
yeah.
make those.
Like,
I remember.
You can just put subtitles on it, and it's still a good movie. It's still a good movie. You just read a little bit.
People don't like to read.
It's not that big a deal.
People hate it.
Yeah.
It's shocking to me how often I encounter people that you talk to them like, oh, I don't watch this. I didn't pay to see a movie to read.
Yeah,
and it's like,
hey, you know what's great? Old Boy. Cool. Why don't we? Can we bring that out here?
Why
and
don't
make
we
that
have the best director ever to direct it? Well, we don't have him.
We already
get Spike Lee.
We
then.
Already have an amazing movie. It's done, and it's been subtitled. All you have to do is press the play button. Nah, Spike Lee, though.
I hate that.
Like, really?
I dislike this concept.
But this is every fucking adaptation that gets done, and it's...
But that's what Scorsese did with Infernal Affairs.
Okay, that one is...
That's different, because
no,
I
it's
like
not.
It.
No, it's not.
It's totally not different at
it's
all.
It's not different at all. It's the exact same
it's
thing.
It's the what? Exception that proves the rule.
It's a good movie.
Okay.
But I absolutely love Infernal Affairs. And
so it's only when it's good then?
No, I would have preferred a world where Infernal Affairs just came out here instead.
Okay.
Like, but if we got a big release theatrically of Infernal Affairs instead of The Departed, I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah,
reality.
But Wahlberg's not in Infernal Affairs.
Yeah, but you know what? There's three movies there. Instead
That's
of
true.
One,
yeah, but
and then Departed combined them to a degree.
Is
but
the Departed like 4 hours long?
But the three, but the long. Three movies are worth your time. Like the actual the arc of the characters over the course How of all is three is super worth it as a trilogy. So I don't know, man. I don't like it's a the results were good.
Oh,
thankfully.
It's 2.5.
I mean, that's what I mean. Is like I'm fine with anything as long as the results are good or different. Like, there's Let the Right One In. Then there's the English Let Me In. They're both quite good, but the English one is so similar it might as well not exist.
But here's the
That's
thing.
Always the weirdest one
yeah,
to me.
But here's the thing, right? Are there any other markets that go the other way around where, like, a Western movie comes out and then they have to do their own country version?
Yeah. India?
Yeah, all the time.
Turkey?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah okay.
Like,
okay. Like the ridiculous fucking Turkish Spider-Man, Turkish Star Wars and shit.
Are
there any
Ghana?
Good movies?
I don't know if they're good.
Are there any good movies or good things where they go and they just remake? Like, because that's what I'm saying is like when a good movie comes out to me, it's like yeah, that's a movie.
Japan,
it's out, right? But North America, just because of the English problem,
I have to look it up. Japan has made full-on Japanese remakes of American movies.
Okay.
But I don't remember the titles.
Okay, I haven't heard of any.
There's
so.
A couple.
Because I always, because I haven't heard any.
It's much more rare than the what we're saying.
Yeah, though. Because I haven't heard any, I feel like only America does that. Like, we are the only ones that go, like, it doesn't count if it didn't come out here.
Shut up, there is a Russian Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
And because of that, I'm like, why can't we just, like,
but why you don't hear about it is because you don't live in that country. So you always hear about the ones that get adapted here, but if you don't live in like Russia or whatever, you're never going to hear about it. You know what I mean?
I get that. I do. But like,
I mean, I know we're a little close to the internet to see where
we are, and we're
Japan,
more but... and exactly, we're more in touch with like that more niche shit. Like the Death Note movies that came out before fucking Death Note would have been better for Netflix than the fucking Death Note movie.
It would have cost
less. Shut up! There is a Russian version of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Wait, you didn't believe your own thing?
No.
It's Always Sunny in Petersburg.
It's Always Sunny in Moscow. And the bar is, instead of being called Patty's Pub, it's called The Philadelphia.
That's actually pretty fun.
Is this a real TV show?
All the characters are here. Max Thick, Borzenko, Sergei Kovalev, Alan Kovalev, and Roman Markov.
I want to watch this.
Is this a real TV show?
Even
or is it
the
like
waitress,
a parody thing?
A.K.A. Girl who, With Whom Love Max. Here is the poster for It's Always Sunny in Moscow.
That, I guess that's definitive.
Wow, it's real. Wow. Okay.
Well, so that answers that shit.
Okay.
Are there other countries that make Parks and Rec?
Is there a 30 Rock Bollywood? I don't know. Anyway,
yeah.
This is obviously the rare exceptions, but you understand my point, I think.
Yeah.
I assume that makes sense. Yes. Okay.
Russians don't like the English version of Always Sunny. They need it to have Russian voices.
Good media/good movies, specifically movies, because anime comes out here and it's fine. Like, that's the thing, right? TV, like with anime, we just import it and like Netflix puts it out and it's there. It's not like we have to make our own redo of the thing. With TV shows, sometimes it's here and there, but like, I know that like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire got exported.
That's international all over.
The X Factor got exported. Game shows get exported all the time.
Oh, because they're great.
Right? Like that shit, insert country has talent.
It's a shame Stock and Blockin' never came out here.
But yeah, man, I just like, it's a bummer that like good movies that are not English get treated like they don't exist simply because they're not English. Anyway.
Yeah, well, the average moviegoer doesn't want to read. Reading's for dorks. I mean, look at you. You're reading stuff right now. Look at you, big dork.
About to read some emails.
Yeah, there's like a bunch, like Tom Cruise and what's her face? We're in a movie called Night and Day. Bollywood remade it in a movie called Bang Bang.
I should mention
there's Unforgiven, the Clint Eastwood one, and then they made a Japanese version of Unforgiven.
I should mention, Wooly, don't even like it being in English isn't enough. Oftentimes, it has to be in your particular region's English, because that British version, I can't understand that shit. Just take that British movie and make a North American version.
Because The Raid just fucking sucked and everyone hated it, right?
Yeah, it did. Don't you remember walking out of the theater saying, that fucking sucked, I had to read? Jeez.
I hate people. I fucking hate people, dude. Let's take some emails.
All right, if you want to send an email about one of the examples that we failed to think up of in this entire segment.
If you'd like to remake that email in another language.
Then we won't be able to read it. But
hopefully English.
Or French.
Of my local dialect.
Or the way we could send it to superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. That's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. And you might sound something like this. Well, he's reading this email. I mean, shit.
So, Psycho 6 says, I recently reached the Chimera arc of Hunter x Hunter.
Oh, I heard that's the really bad one for losers.
Excuse me, Hunter x Hunter. Even though it's not the end of the anime series, I felt like a damn good ending, and my friend says it all goes downhill from there, so I decided to stop watching. That would be the ending for me. Have you ever had a series...
Kyoto arc of Kenshin.
Episode 134 of Naruto.
Season 1 of Westworld.
Oh, wow.
Done? Done. We got
Man,
one.
You should have stopped watching Hunter x Hunter in episode 1, because that shit's for babies.
That email had a cutoff point.
Yeah. Some people would say Cell Saga should have ended after Cell Saga.
Yeah, you mean like Toriyama?
Yeah.
You know,
there's tons of like fun stuff that happened ever, but I think
there's worse out there.
I have one.
There's way worse.
There's way worse.
I have a legitimate
there.
Serious answer. Season 7 of Stargate SG-1, in which its season finale is literally titled Threads, in which they tie up every loose end ever. And then everyone involved in the show was like, we're glad we finished the show and it's great. And then the studio or the network said, two more seasons, fuckers. And they went, it's done. And went, two more seasons, make a new stupid alien to fight. So don't watch those last two seasons. They're quite bad.
The reason why I like the Busaga, though, is because one, it brings us Videl. Two, it brings us the Great Saiyaman. Three, it brings
fusions
us
in general.
Vegito.
Yeah.
Right? And four, it brings us Boo as a fun villain that's just id.
Yeah. You know?
If Cell is ego, right? Like, Boo is just the opposite of that. It's just raw fucking emotions, and it's a cool antithesis to perfect Cell's perfection. You know? But yes, generally, I don't disagree, but there's some stuff that came out. Hey, beautiful boys. Jordan says, can you have your opinions on series? Can you give your opinions on series fatigue? I think we have.
Just now.
About Assassin's Creed, a whole bunch.
Yeah.
I'm very upset about the fact that AC is going yearly and.
Yeah, after they fucking said that they weren't.
I'm wondering if there's a game series that you love that just wouldn't go away. Back in the day, Guitar Hero.
Go away.
Back in the day, the rhythm games hit their saturation point.
I'll agree with that.
And then they kept going.
Yep. And they did so because Bobby Kotick admitted that he knew it was diminishing returns, but the amount of money they paid for the license meant they were going to burn people out on it. So with the life that's left in a thing, it's a really fucking shitty, evil way to do business, but it makes you a ton of money.
Yeah.
Is you go, I'm going to keep squeezing blood from the stone
until the stone is pulverized.
Because I've paid for the stone, and that's what I'm going to do.
I'm going to say sports.
I'm going to say Star Wars. Is hitting that point because they overplayed their hand thinking that people wanted a solo movie, but more importantly, it's 6 years in a row of Star Wars movies.
Yes.
It's going to be exhausting for people.
Seriously, though, sports in general.
I remember the first couple of Need for Speed games, like Hot Pursuit and stuff on the PlayStation
the
1.
The new ones?
No, he's talking about Hot Pursuit is no, 3.
Yeah.
Okay, because
there's an original Hot Pursuit.
No, I know. That's why I'm asking, saying the new ones or the old ones.
And then there was
Need for Speed had like.
Then it got and then there really
was,
dumb.
Then there was
really
Need for Speed
fast.
4, which was good.
Yeah.
And then there was Need for Speed 5. Yep, high stakes.
And then they just decided to call shit Hot Pursuit again.
5 was the Porsche one, and that was the moment.
Mm.
The one where they only got the rights to Porsche.
Then it went to Need for Speed Underground. Then it went to the ones where you got out of your car. And then it was so. And then they replaced Burnout. With Need for Speed, which is always a bad deal.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, so there's other examples of series fatigue for you there, Jordan. Let's take one over here from Rez. That's a good name. There's Super Detroit Become Human Smash Cast. Are there any game mechanics or moments that offer very simple or shallow gameplay, yet the music and presentation of what's happening make it an incredibly hype moment for you? For me, the two go-tos are Ace Attorney's revisualizations, a.k.a. the thought routes or logic dives that were introduced in Dual Destinies and Spirit of Justice, and Danganronpa, V3's scrum battles. On the surface, they're nothing more than a pretty choice selects that are almost impossible to lose. However, the build-up to them and the tracks they have during the playoff are huge, despite only requiring a simple player interaction. Absolutely. I was going to say, like, I kind of like glanced over it, so I didn't see the second answer there, but Danganronpa as an entire franchise is that you're having debates with people and all you're doing is choosing the right thing to say at the right time. But the presentation of how you say what you say is fucking incredible.
I think that nothing's ever going to beat Ace Attorney 1 of picking the right piece of evidence. Phoenix slapping his hand down on the table, pointing, and Cornered starts to play.
Okay.
It's the most exciting.
Very. Yeah. But I have the direct counter of that. Is the version of that in Danganronpa when you piece together every single bit. The last thing you do is after you do your logic dive and such, you create the comic strip of like, this is play by play what happened, mm-hmm. and you accuse the person.
Yeah.
And like the moment you're piecing it all together and you finally conclude it, the best fucking theme, Climax Return, starts playing, yeah. and it builds up as you not only point out who did it, but you fucking beat them to death with the truth in a way. And like, it's just a very satisfying thing to be like, oh, you asshole. You thought you'd get away with it. Now take this. Take
we're
this.
We're essentially describing the same,
thing.
Exact same.
It's the same thing.
Two different styles.
But it. Yeah. But it's yeah. It's a prolonged like. Oh, you're gonna fucking. You're gonna take it.
Well, because you're describing Danganronpa as like picking up a bat and going to beat down somebody with the truth. Whereas in Ace Attorney,
it's a bullet.
It's,
actually,
okay, sure.
The truth bullet. That's the.
But
that's the,
in Ace Attorney, it's a name. Duel. It's a lot of back and forth.
Mm. I want to say the only other example I can think of that's like a completely mundane activity that ends up being dramatic and because of the presentation is the microwave hallway in Metal Gear Solid 4.
You're holding forward.
You're mashing buttons.
Yeah.
Similar to this.
But it's really dramatic.
I talked about the game before, but Amazing Spider-Man 2, there's these moments during cutscenes where something crashes through the wall, a shot rings out, something breaks, and then he goes, spider sense tingling, danger, but where? And then it stops, and the game becomes a diorama where you have to move the camera around and find where the danger is coming from.
Nice.
And once you've located it, you just press Y.
I was going to say that God of War in the dust, in the darkness, where you're walking in a circle, would be a nice like way to do that spider sense kind of thing. But yeah, that's a really cool one. You didn't play Tetris Effect, did you?
No, I did. Because the VR games are always by appointment.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
And plus, there's weirdos that are sweating in them.
I want to give a big shout out to the final button prompt in Wonderful 101.
Yes.
Yeah.
The music.
That's all presentation.
You know what that is? It's the music and all that stuff, but it's the name of the prompt. Yeah. That's all it is.
I would like to follow that trend and do the exact same for Kirby Star Allies.
Oh, yeah?
The final button prompt in Kirby Star Allies is very strong as well. And Planet Robobot. Jake says, Pat, you probably have answered this before, but RE2 Remake's coming out soon.
That's right. I will answer all of these questions.
I've been looking forward since I grew up on Remake on the GameCube, but there's so many RE2s out there, I don't know which one to play. So there's a PS1, the famous N64 port, the PS2 version, the PC version, the Dreamcast, a GameCube version, and even the goddamn game.com.
Okay. I think the GameCube version is...
So Max schooled me on this when I went and took a look at running it on a stream a little while back. So the PS1 version has two versions, the regular version and the DualShock version. The only difference is that the DualShock version has DualShock controls. It has a few spelling errors corrected, and like the Magnum parts, I believe, becomes the Magnum parts. And it also has the battle mode, which is pretty cool, but not important. The N64 version, I don't remember if it has the battle mode. What it does have is a higher resolution. No, does it?
It has a high resolution on characters.
On characters and in-game, it looks a little cleaner because of the anti-aliasing.
And it's got some extra files.
Has a bunch of extra files, none of which are canon now. I think it had 64 extra files.
Yeah.
It also has the worst cutscenes ever. They look so bad because of the compression on the cart. I would never recommend the N64 version. Then you have the GameCube version, which is the version that I played because you can fuck around with it texture-wise in Dolphin. That runs at 360p instead of the PS1's 240p, and it runs the best, like frame rate-wise. It's very solid. And if you put the texture pack in Dolphin and kick up the resolution, it's the easiest one to get looking the nicest. Then you have the Dreamcast version, which has all the stuff mentioned prior except for the files in the 64 version. That never came back. The battle mode, all that shit. That runs at 480p, which if you're going to run a version natively or on a real system, that is the one to go for sure. Then there's the PC version, which I don't know when it fucking came out. And you can technically make it look the best, I think. But I don't think there's a legal way to acquire it anymore. And even beyond that, it's quite rare. And then I'm unfamiliar with the game.com version. So if you're going to play that game for the first time, go and get
game.com. Got it.
No, go get get Dolphin, get the latest stable release of Dolphin. Go get a version of that game for the GameCube. And run, install a texture pack and load the textures with it. You can look up a tutorial how to do that. And if you can't find the textures, I actually, in part one of my stream footage,
Yeah, this is all 2D and it's like, just play this video.
No, but over at, my archive channel for my streams, Pat Stares At, in part one of the footage for Resident Evil 2, I have the link to the fucking zip file with all the goddamn textures in it in the description.
But
so
they could be
that.
Playing this.
We're looking at the game.com Resident
I've never
Evil
seen
2.
This is fascinating to me. This is
have you ever seen the Game Boy Color?
I have
Resident
seen,
Evil?
Yeah, it never came out.
No,
there's a build that came out.
Fucking impressive.
It's insanely impressive.
Yeah. Okay. We got one coming in from
play the GameCube version on Dolphin. It's what Max did. It's what he convinced me to do, and he was super right to do it.
Hey guys, Matt.
That's my name.
Long time listener, but
you're so mad.
I want to know with Sony attempting to create a standalone cinematic universe based on the Spider-Man property,
but no Spider-Man.
That's devoid of the web slinger himself. It's gotten me thinking about how many of his rogue gallery are kind of just lame and not that cool at all. I've come to the conclusion that most of his enemies, when you take Spider-Man out of the equation, are pretty garbage.
I wouldn't say most, but there's a lot of jobbers in there. Like, there's more jobbers than good guys, like awesome villains and side characters, but those awesome villains and side characters are really awesome.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt that any other situation where a character loses its cool or what's compelling about them the moment you take them out of their context?
I think the Punisher is way lamer if you put him in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, when he exists in a realistic world where it's crime is the number one threat to the world,
yes,
he's a lot cooler.
He's a lot cooler. So there's that.
I'm trying to think of like not the main character, but like a thing where the main character is cool, but everyone else is garbage. You know, I don't know. Like something where like every supporting cast is pointless, but it's like, yeah, that's a pretty. I mean, Spider-Man's a pretty big one where it's like, yeah, dude. I've grown to love them, even though
he's got stuff like
Rhino's an idiot, but Rhino's a cool idiot, and Scorpion's an idiot, but he's
Rhino
a cool idiot.
Rhino can be in a lot of shit. He could be going up against this villain, that hero. No one about it.
And I unironically love Shocker.
Oh, okay, so that's what I was gonna wait. I was waiting to see who you guys are gonna get there. Shocker is the fucking Z-est tier, but I love him.
Yeah.
The thing with
because Electro was so much more powerful, but I hated Electro always.
Oh yeah,
no. Never liked him.
But here's the thing: Venom is so intrinsically linked to Spider-Man that I kind of feel Venom's lamer when Spider-Man's not somewhere on the periphs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like he has Spider-Man's powers, mm-hmm. He has all this history with him, and when you have Venom doing all his limited series and shit, I saw some good ones at the Comic-Con. I saw Venom versus Mace, which is just some asshole in a green cape and has a steel mace and like a little Sub-Zero mask. Is so bad.
I was listening to like a Patrice O'Neill thing recently where they're talking about
Venom,
about comics.
Cool.
And they were describing like what's cool and what's lame. And I remember like one of the things they brought up was like you can like yeah the villains being memorable are kind of lame. They like contrast a character in a certain way and stand out and can tell you what a good hero and a bad hero is and isn't, because you can in some cases use that, you know. And a lot of people, it's true, the Flash has a lot of nothing villains, right? He Gorilla Grodd, you're not going to say much about that. There's, you know, whatever. It's a lot of non-interesting things there. But Professor Zoom, and technically if you want to get into like some of the other speedsters as well, and then the Dark Flash and shit, Death Flash. And
I think
Zoom is so cool.
I think that I think that Flash's biggest villain is Flash with a reversed color palette is the worst thing in the universe.
But
I think that's the worst.
But his powers are the opposite.
Whatever. it's copy paste and hit invert
in a way that's different, because his powers are inverted in such a way that like most of him using his powers makes life suck. I like it. I think.
How about this? When you're watching animated Spider-Man on Foxbox, whatever, if you said you're gonna think that the Kingpin is one of the most interesting, coolest villains ever. Later on in a Daredevil show, you'd be like, get out of my fucking face. That's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
it really takes someone, a really good writer or a scenario, to actually bring these villains out and make them really interesting. Because now it's like,
Homecoming Vulture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Vulture. I hate Vulture. He's a gross old man. He was just Ric Flair in a fucking.
Yeah, obsessed with youth. Instead of plasma, he's sucking youth.
Youth.
Yeah, that's his. Yeah.
So all it really takes is a good angle and you can do it, but no one's taking Boomerang or The Spot. And doing shit with them.
Okay, The Spot, though, is, like, infinite powerful.
And if,
like, yes, he's one of those guys.
Raimi had ideas for Sandman. He just didn't get to really use them.
I never.
Spot bugs me because he is so fucking busted. And, like,
it's that scene. It's that one
big
scene.
Loser.
Yeah.
He gets, the Sandman gets that scene, you know? Yeah, man. I feel like Spider-Man's a biggie.
Spot's fucking cool.
Things that should creep you out. One, I was playing Overwatch with a buddy once, says Kevin, and
Overwatch is creepy.
We were chatting, and on the menus, I noticed Mercy was breathing, and I have no idea why, but I got creeped out.
Yeah.
Now, if I notice a character in a video game breathe, I get anxious. Is there anything video game related like that that bothers you?
Heartbeat noises. I hate them.
Oh, there's. Ooh, you're gonna hit a bad one in Hollow Knight. But
all right, well, that's off the list.
Yeah. I'm gonna say. Like
characters that die with their eyes open.
Oh,
remember,
yeah.
Deus Ex had that problem for the longest time. Characters always have their
that
eyes open.
That happens in real life,
dead.
Though.
It does, but it's still unnerving.
I don't like, if a game is not going to animate people's mouths moving when they talk, then, like, it's weird, but, like in the Souls way, it's annoying because they're just standing there and the voice is just happening in an ethereal echo from the room. At least to me, if you add the Metal Gear Solid head nod while it they helps. Talk, it makes
oh,
it normal.
Well, you would love the old Resident Evil thing of just wild arm movements.
Yeah,
during-
yeah, their heads okay. bob all over the
place. I'm totally down with MGS head bobbing to replace talking.
Like, they're doing like this. Just
yeah.
In every conversation.
But the just standing still.
This too, like.
Holding an idle pose with no attempt at having a gesture.
What are you doing?
Sucks. You know? Like, even if it's just hands moving, I'll take that.
Oh, sorry about that, girly.
Yeah, red versus blue. Exactly.
Mm. Oh, I thought you were one of them.
But their faces are always masked usually, so it doesn't matter.
But that's exactly it.
But that's what they got.
You can bob your head to show you're talking with a masked face.
Metal Gear.
And finally, Time Axis says, Dear Ashley, what's the most you've invested in something you've never touched? For example, I've considered myself a huge fan of the newer games, and I know a ton about them, but I've never played a single one.
Huh.
I've only watched a bunch of playthroughs.
I can't think of anything that I invested time or money into that I actually never touched at all.
I mean,
I always go back or start it at some point.
Yeah, there's always a limit to it. Like, I have an interest in Warframe, but I've touched it at this point. And there is, like, that... And it's like, I haven't done a deep dive.
You all haven't spent 1 cent on it.
No, I haven't. A lot of people haven't. It's free.
Yeah, exactly. So you haven't invested anything into it.
I will also say that peripherally, due to this channel, I am like, I've been like dragged into investment with Yakuza.
Yeah.
Despite having not played, right? Besides the test session.
There's a million other things you'd rather fucking do.
And I think it's cool, but I just haven't. But to the point where, like, I'm getting looped into memes that I don't understand.
Listen, you couldn't possibly.
And I'm going, hi.
I spent all my money chatting with cam girls. I don't have money to go see my daughter in the hospital.
It's like, I appreciate that you've included me in on this meme, but I don't understand it. I don't know who
enjoy
that
it, though.
I don't know
enjoy
who that
it
is.
Enjoy it for its dankness.
Like, I guess.
It's like a mushroom.
I guess this character makes sense on this person's face when you paste them. Why are you on Big Bird? Is this a meme from the future you don't understand yet? With the fucking colored old man? Like, yeah. So,
memes from the future. They're my favorite.
I guess I've never actually touched the controller and played Final Fantasy 15, but I feel like I know a lot about it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Pat played it when we did the video.
Well, listen.
I mean, I watched the game.
When the game is finally done,
yeah,
you can hop it in and you'll have a fun time.
But, like, I know all the characters. I know all their likes and dislikes now.
All you really need to know is Cindy and Hammerhead.
More to it than that.
Is there?
Yeah.
What about Gladio? Hey, no, all you need to know is that if you beat Gladio's DLC mission with a high enough ranking, you get to play as him shirtless the whole game.
There you go.
Cup noodle.
Yeah, exactly.
The ultimate flavor experience.
Fishing, recipes.
Also, the thing where they have the girls replacing the guys, and you've got Aranea.
There is some stupid shit coming out of those mods.
Yeah. There's some dumb shit. Snake fucking on the battlefield with Gladio behind him. Like, I'm like, what game is this? Why is Snake in an old castle? And then Prompto just goes flying.
How about this? Could you see yourselves being really into Overwatch, know a lot about Overwatch, but you hadn't actually played it?
I could see that.
I could see that.
Depends if I was good with Source Filmmaker.
I could definitely see that. But I'd want to play it at that point.
You just never had a chance to, like, I don't know, like, it was only on a console or something.
That's definitely existed, but like, I feel like I've gotten past most of those in my life, if anything. But yeah, cool. What's coming out, guys?
Apology LP of Detroit continues.
When do we get the frickin' gun?
The apology tour, is that what it
apology
is to you?
Tour.
For me, it's the see the content.
My favorite version of this is.
I wish we could call it Retroit. I really do.
I saw, call it what?
It'll fuck up Retroit. That'd fuck up the searches.
Yeah, it would.
I saw somebody in one of the comments talking about the episodes. It's like, hey, you know, you guys could get radically different endings if you only change a few things. Oh, what's that? Kill everyone.
So that's the thing. Like, there's definitely a lot of discussion going. Like, I hope they don't get forced into doing. I hope that you guys don't get forced into doing bad things for on a shitty path just because I say I want to see different.
No,
shit.
I'm doing bad things because I want to do them.
Please don't misunderstand. Well. And it's all and some stuff we're gonna do is gonna be the same. Like, but this is not.
We tried peace. It didn't work.
This is very simply we're doing the things we feel like doing a second time, and we're gonna see what sticks.
But also, it's like we've
but we can't game plan it too hard.
With other games, like, should we just go the evil path? Should we play like a Telltale game and be an asshole to everybody? And we never really did anything with it. This is the perfect game to pull the devil trigger
while not trying to trying not to end the game even earlier. By killing people off even faster.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I the one thing I did ask was, I'm like, how do we get to that cool scene we want?
And you found out.
And that's the one steer.
We're gonna try for.
Yeah, that's it, you know. The rest is fucking, we'll see what happens when we get there. But yes.
I think everything else is continuing. Does Godhead finish this week or
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I went and checked a video that went up the other day, and it was farther back than I anticipated.
There you go.
Either way, my arm.
Summon up the power of the God hand.
Yeah, we beat it.
Yeah.
So,
it was a very good time had by all.
Yeah.
Except for Angra. That dickhead.
Dude, I swear it was so much... It was better off camera.
You'll have to live.
I will have to live with the burnings that I'm getting.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm getting roasted.
What's going on at Woolly Versus?
Well, I was gonna say that. God Hand continues.
Oh.
And Tokyo Mirage Sessions continues.
Yes.
And Big Shenanigans continues in Tokyo Mirage Sessions. We're nearing it.
Edging.
We're nearing the Garnith. We're almost ready to get Garnith off.
What?
It's happening. You can't beat him. But
you would have to either know Fire Emblem, which you don't.
I don't.
Just Fire Emblem, actually.
There's a death egg in this case. There's a thing.
Okay. Yeah, the Dragonstone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Fair enough.
What's going on, guys?
I'm going to stream at least once this week over at twitch.tv AngriestPat. Matt, are you streaming this week?
No, I don't think so. I will be at...
You're going somewhere.
I'm going to G-Fest. I was invited last year, couldn't go, so I'm going again. I have another panel.
That's this weekend.
My panel's on Sunday. I should be back here at noon. My plan nails at noon.
Don't clarify. Don't.
My plan nails at noon. My plane lands at noon, so I should be here, barring any explosions.
Might be a bump. We'll see, because I'm going to be places too. But
oh, really?
Coming up on Wooly Versus, there's more Nier Automata.
Of course there is.
There
That's a long-ass game.
There is more Naruto.
Oh.
There is, I'm going to probably, depending on whether or not the quality can be improved, I'm going to probably get up a nice summarized version of the dreaded encounter. So me versus Kenny in a highlight reel that Solid has put together.
Dreaded for him, maybe.
Bam. So yeah, that's probably coming out this week. And
that's right.
They should change their name from Yo Video Games to Yo We're Bad at Video Games.
Oh shit.
Bam.
And Mothman's been in the kitchen. I've been in the kitchen. We've been working on some Kirby lore hot for you. And a little sprinkle of
a gourmet race thing?
Little V. In the kitchen, we got some shit. It's coming. It might be ready this week as well. So we'll see.
Man, you got a lot of stuff cooking.
That reminds me, since you talk about Kenny, I will also be with the losers of the Yo Video Game crew at Galloping Ghost.
It's unfortunate for them.
This Saturday, where they will probably lose at a lot of arcade games.
They're quite poor.
Especially Primal Rage 2, if they still have that cab.
I'm heading to New York this weekend for a comedy festival.
Ooh.
So I'm not sure. I think I'll be back in time for Monday, but if not, then we'll just bump it.
I'm sure we'll manage, and if not,
mm-hmm.
See you on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, we did it. We did the podcast.
That's a podcast.
Yeah.
That's a podcast.
Goodbye, everybody.
Later.
Woo!
Sons and daughters, hide the heart of who we are. Making peace to build a future, strong, united, working till we call the air and water flowing. Heart, the land we call our home. Push to keep the dark from coming. Feel the weight of what we owe. This. The sound of sons and daughters, hide the heart of who we are. Making peace to build a future, strong, united, working till we fall. And we all lift, and we're all adrift together. Thank you.